The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks. Hey, interns, can somebody go over and yell to Preston real quick and tell him to come into the main air studio? This is Casey.
Hey, Casey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Oh, I got to go over there. Okay.
You got to come on over here. The board in the Preston Steve studio just died on us, and so I had to run. Into the other studio and get that thing going. Hi, Steve. How are you, buddy? All right. So while you guys try and figure this thingy out, I'll go work on the other board, Preston. We're live on the air, Preston.
Well, I realize that. I was just speaking into a microphone that didn't work in the other room. Good morning, everybody. Welcome, Steve. I have no idea. It's been years since I've been in the studio. I don't even, no, you're not. I don't hear you at all. What's that? All the mics are on.
How about mic four? Hey, Steve.
Hey, that one works.
Come on over to this one.
Let's come over to that one.
All right.
So we're back. It's Flashback Thursday.
All right.
Throwback Thursday on the Preston and Steve Show as we get back into the old studios that we haven't been into for years and years. We'll give you the weather forecast, but that's not in here. It's going to be cold today. I do know that. We will be warming up towards the weekend. By the time we get to Saturday and Sunday, we'll be in the upper 50s, probably the low 60s. So we'll see about that. Now, I really am 100% lost in here.
Well, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Well, I will hit this button and see if we can get the traffic music. Yeah. All right, Kathy, any chance we can get a look at traffic in here?
Yeah, sure. Okay. No problem. This traffic report is brought to you by Tires Plus. They give you options and recommendations so you can choose what works best for you and your car. They keep you in the driver's seat. So this morning, we have volume building already on 95 southbound between Allegheny and Girard. In New Jersey, an accident just cleared off of Route 130 northbound at Collings Avenue, and then 55 northbound. We're slow north of Deptford to the 42 freeway. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you can get local. You get a local expert and help finding the best coverage for you. Plus, when you bundle home and auto, you can save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right. Normally, I go straight into the news. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to try to figure out what's going on here. So what had happened behind the scenes, if you don't know. So the intro to the show starts.
Yeah.
And then at that point, about halfway through that intro, I start to turn on the microphones. And when I went to go turn on the microphones, what should happen is the studio monitors mute and you have to put your headphones on. It's the only way to hear. So I hit the buttons. The monitors don't mute.
Right.
The microphones don't come on. The intro progresses as it normally does. And then it's time for us to start talking. And no microphones are on. Nothing at all. So yeah. Casey runs into the main MMR studios where Jackson and Pierre and everybody else does their show from. And all of a sudden he cracks the mic and we can hear it. And then I try to turn the mics on in the other room and those don't work. So we have this little miscommunication thing. So question, Casey, is it working in the other room now?
Okay. What do we need? All right. So yes, it is working, but we can't get into that other studio until I trip another sound effect. So you guys can all go in there right now.
Why don't you guys go over there real quick?
All right. Okay. Well, why don't you go over there, and I'll just trip a sound effect.
Yeah, I will. I'll wait till they get over there first, okay. And then we'll get that going. So it's a little peek behind the curtain as to how things work around here. Because when I step out of here, you're going to have to solo for a little bit, Case, and keep our friends entertained here for a moment.
I know, but the second I hit this little button, it'll go bow, 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 the news, and then so you'll have those 5 seconds. I don't even know. I don't know. But I mean, the second you hit that button, I can pot down the microphones in here, and then you'll have a couple of minutes to or a couple of seconds. To,
yeah, seconds,
not minutes.
Okay. I'll do that now. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Mark, get set
and go.
Go. Go.
Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
I think we're all on the same page.
Right.
Yeah.
Me
Today is Thursday, March 7th, isn't it? Well, good morning, Kathy.
Yes, and we start the morning off with very sad news. Alex Trebek, the longtime host of Jeopardy, announced Wednesday that he had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Normally, the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this and I'm going to keep working, Trebek said in a video message released on Jeopardy's social media accounts. I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Help me keep the faith and we'll win. We'll get it done, he added. Pancreatic cancer is the fourth leading cause of cancer deaths in America, according to the Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, afflicting an estimated 50,000 Americans each year. Depending on how advanced the cancer is, treatment options include surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation.
I saw it pop up on TMZ, and I was like, I started to tear up. I'm like, mother of God. And then his video that he shot,
yeah,
absolute class, absolute dignity, unbelievable courage, and in a way, it felt as if he was letting his fan base know it's okay,
like,
you know, even though it's
like
not.
Consoling them.
I had that whole impression that he was reaching out saying, I don't want you to worry.
Right.
He throws in a joke.
Right.
You know, and we'll play the audio in a little bit, but
it's really nice, but it's not okay.
It's not okay.
And listen, I admire all of that of him, and he's going to try really hard, like hopefully anybody would.
Yes.
But it's the stats are not good.
The like 1%, but the nature of it is, and we'll hear more about this as well.
Yeah.
Pancreatic cancer is, they can't detect it early. When
that's
it's detected, it's already too far along.
Yep.
In most of the cases.
Yeah, and the stage 4 indicates that the cancer has spread to other body parts. Trebek, who is 78 years old, underwent surgery to remove blood clots on his brain in December of 2017, but resumed taping new episodes of Jeopardy the next month. Trebek has served as the face of the game show since it made its debut in daytime syndication in 1984. With nearly 8,000 episodes under his belt, he holds the Guinness World Record for most game show episodes hosted by the same presenter.
I mean, I absolutely love that guy. It's just so sad.
Monday through Friday, every night he's in our homes. We all watch Jeopardy, and you count on Alex Trebek.
Yep.
It's so sad. And, you know, with Luke Perry earlier, you know, in the week, and then this, like, when I heard this, I was like, no.
Not again.
Not again, no. SEPTA's Transit Police Union went on strike Wednesday after contract talks broke down. Both sides say they hope the issue will resolve soon. But in the meantime, SEPTA has a strike contingency plan and no service disruptions are expected for customers. Officers are on the picket line. The Fraternal Order of Transit Police Lodge 109 represents around 180 SEPTA officers. The union and SEPTA have been negotiating for months on this contract, but Wednesday afternoon talks broke down and the FOTP called a strike. For SEPTA, this is very frustrating and disappointing, said SEPTA spokesman Andrew Bush. There is no need for there to be a strike today. SEPTA wants customers to know that they are safe to ride. There are 49 SEPTA police supervisors who remain on duty working 12-hour shifts to patrol the system. They are also working with Philadelphia and suburban police to help cover patrols and respond to calls. The union says monetary parts of their contract have already been settled, but they are striking because of a work rule. The last time SEPTA transit officers went on strike was in 2012, and the strike lasted about a week. The pilot of a grounded Air Canada flight ordered nearly 24 pizzas for hungry passengers stuck on board his plane for 8 hours.
That's great.
Yeah, the flight headed towards Halifax, Nova Scotia, had been diverted to New Brunswick, where passengers were stranded on the snowy tarmac. The unidentified pilot made sure to credit the crew with helping him get the pizzas from Mingler's Restaurant and Pub, and he distributed it to everybody on board.
I'm surprised that the rules allowed him to let that on board.
Right? I guess that's different.
Different because I'm sure there would have been some sort of issue here.
Yeah, but he ordered 23 pizzas for everybody on board. That's cool.
Yes.
All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Both the Sixers and the Flyers lost last night. In South Philly, the Washington Capitals raced out to a 5-0 lead, and even though the Flyers mounted a comeback after they pulled goalie Brian Elliott, they fell short and lost by a final of
is it?
Of 5-3. Claude Giroux had a goal and an assist, and Scott Laughton and Philippe Myers also scored for the Flyers, who had won 16 of 21 to get within reach of a postseason spot after falling to the NHL's worst record in January. The Flyers remain 7 points out of the second wild card in the Eastern Conference. They're off until Saturday, when they'll travel back to New York for another game against the Islanders. Meanwhile, in Chicago, the Sixers lost a game they probably should have won. Zach LaVine scored 39 points and hit a go-ahead layup in the closing seconds for the Bulls' 108-107 win. LaVine scored 13 in the fourth quarter as the Bulls erased a 10-point deficit on their way to the win. The Bulls trailed 107-106 after Jimmy Butler hit two free throws for the Sixers with 4.8 seconds remaining. After a timeout, LaVine scored the go-ahead layup with 1.6 seconds remaining.
I've seen them lose a couple of games like that this season. It's very disheartening. And another weird thing that had happened was with 5.5 seconds
left,
they inbounded the ball. The buzzer went off before anybody had even touched the ball.
Oh, wow.
And both teams went to the locker rooms.
And then they came back out?
And then they all came back out.
That's what that was?
Yes. I was watching it. I go, do I not know the rules? Like, is the clock supposed to
start? You put
it
up on social media. Yeah. You tweeted a still shot of it. And I'm like, what went on?
Yeah. Whoever was working the clock was a little quick. I mean, listen, a half of a second isn't much time. But still.
It's enough time to sink a basket.
Yeah. And both teams had left.
Yeah.
Like, half of the stadium had left.
That's
and then
crazy.
They were like, everybody come back. Come back real quick. You're going to do this all over again.
The road trip continues tomorrow night with a game in Houston against the Rockets. And at spring training, Bryce Harper homered off of his teammate, Jared Eichhoff, in his third plate appearance of a simulated game yesterday afternoon following a walk and a swinging strikeout. The home run came on a curveball, Eichhoff's best pitch, and left the stadium. Harper is expected to make his spring training debut with the rest of the team on Saturday's game against the Blue Jays. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Yeah, ma'am, 1 week from today, we'll be in the air on our way to Florida, speaking of baseball, and getting set for spring training. So hopefully you're going to be down there and you'll have a chance to hang out with us. So we'll get the details up on WMMR.com, but that's one of the things we have planned for the near future. As far as today goes, we have several things that are taking place. We have some, I can mention this case. This is okay to say that?
Yeah.
All right, we have some new music from the Black Keys we're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. I actually have an interesting announcement from them coming up in music news as far as a big festival that they are rumored to be playing. So that's coming up today. We are going to talk to Dr. Mike with this diagnosis and announcement from Alex Trebek. We'll get the doctor's information on pancreatic cancer. Because, listen, when it happens to somebody like that, a lot of people are touched by it. Once again, you may have had a personal experience with that, a family member or so on and so forth. But this one kind of really hits to a large number of people. So we're gonna go into that a little bit.
Yes,
Mike, just to get his... the specifics on pancreatic cancer. So we'll talk to him in the entertainment report. Our friend Brittany Taylor from our Totally Office calendar, she's done several of them, is on a show called Very Calaveri.
Cavallari.
See, I know it well.
it's a reality show.
What's it about?
Well, it's Kristen Cavallari, who is from the Hills, and she was on these MTV shows, right?
Yeah.
So she has a show that's she's a designer, has a store in Nashville. The show is doing really well for E, and Brittany is like the second in command of this fashion empire that's being built.
So Brittany will be joining us around 9 o'clock, so we'll talk about their second season. They have a new episode coming up on Sunday. So.
I watch it all the time.
Do you?
I do.
Who's your
favorite?
Brittany?
Brittany, yeah. But the same way I watched Match Made in Heaven when Angela was on it. I don't watch reality shows, but if someone I know is on it, yeah.
I watched when Angela was on, too.
Yeah. We're watching her lead an alpaca around.
Well,
so, very interesting. So we'll talk to Brittany later on this morning. We also have, don't forget, your chance to end up with a mandate with Brent Celek, former Eagle and resident of the Delaware Valley. And he's a great guy. And not only that, it's going to be hosted by Steve and Casey. It's going to be Wednesday, March 20th at Worldwide Stereo in Ardmore. Click on contest at WMMR.com. Tell us why you'd like to win. It's going to be a fun night, man.
Yeah.
Hang with Brent. Brent's such a super nice guy. You will enjoy it, and you'll love everything that they have at Worldwide Stereo. It's at the Ardmore location. So these things and more are going on. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. We'll get the entertainment report and a stupid question, and I hope that more equipment issues don't happen, but I'm not banking on that.
No, neither am I.
One leads to another, but we'll find out. Stay with us. It's the mystery show. We'll be back in just a second on MMR.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic from WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer, always with fast and free shipping. Visit Steven Singer Jewelers online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The stupid question this morning could get you a four-pack of tickets to see the Wings or playing the Buffalo Bandits on Friday. Question that I have for you this morning, actually surprising. Who is the only Eagle Scout to ever become a U.S. president? There's only been one.
The only Eagle Scout to ever become a U.S. president.
That kind of surprising.
Very.
I thought there would have been a few more, as many people have gone through the Boy Scout program. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. Who's the only Eagle Scout to ever become a U.S. president? I got some good birthdays to run by you today. We'll start with, by the way, it is March 7th. It is Bryan Cranston's birthday today.
Super talented Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
He was just on, I guess, Broadway in Network.
I think he can do it all.
Yeah, he can do it all.
I don't know if he sings or not.
But he can also roller skate, Preston, dance.
I'm glad you brought that up.
You watch Malcolm in the Middle.
That episode.
It's not a stunt double.
Really?
He's roller skating. He's doing the dancing and the booging, the whole damn deal.
That's awesome.
At the end of the episode, they made it a point to, maybe it's like the end credits were rolling. It's just him roller boogieing, and you're like... Holy crap.
That's freaking, that's Breaking Bad. That's, unbelievable.
Yeah, he came in here post Malcolm in the Middle, pre Breaking Bad, and I forget which movie he was promoting, but he went from here and spent the day in Philly, and then I saw him that night at the Phillies game. He just took in a ball game. And I said, hey, I work on the radio show where you were this morning. It was really nice. He could not have been a nicer guy.
Yeah.
He was not a superstar at that point, but he was recognizable.
And I remember after that day, I remember him from that day. And then, the years leading up after Breaking Bad hit, I'm like, oh, my God. That guy who was just kind of like, hey, it's really nice to meet you, turned into the TV star.
But even in Breaking Bad, the metamorphosis he goes through is an amazing thing. He is also, I thought he was great, Preston, in the miniseries From the Earth to the Moon.
Yes.
He's really good.
I don't remember what
episode
he was in, but...
He was in a couple, but I don't remember which astronaut specifically he was playing, but he was great.
Nice. Bryan Cranston, 63 today. Laura Prepon from That 70s Show.
Yeah.
She's 39.
And Orange is the New Black.
Correct.
And who is she married to?
Danny Masterson?
Is it Ben Foster?
It's not Danny Masterson.
No. Maybe it is Ben Foster.
Because they were both on That 70s Show.
It's Ben Foster. Ben Foster.
Is she a Scientologist?
I don't know, because Danny Masterson.
And that's why I was thinking.
And he and his brother are both Scientologists.
I want to say she was involved with the church. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. Let's just make it up. Yeah, she's a level 8 Faden.
Absolutely.
Does she have that tooth?
She got the horseshoe crab-eating tooth that extends when she starts to eat.
Laura is 39
As all Scientologists.
She says she does not like wearing 70s clothes at all.
Oh, there we go. Well, then she can't be a Scientologist. That's all they wear. Bell-bottoms.
Jenna Fischer, Pam in The Office, is 45 today.
I love her, man.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And my daughter has recently became obsessed with The Office and basically binged the whole series in just a matter of a couple of weeks, and I ended up watching it. I love that show. And I think I loved it more the second time around.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's one, as with a select few other shows, where you can watch 7 of them, 8 of them in a row, not a problem.
So she turns 45 today. Rachel Wise, the actress, she's been really, she popped up in Oscar season with The Favorite, or with award season in general. Married to Daniel Craig.
Married to Daniel Craig. You know what movie she's in that I really love, though they take a few liberties with the source material? Constantine.
Mm.
If you see, she's in that movie Constantine, and she's gone on to do a whole bunch of genre stuff like The Mummy.
Yeah, that's correct. It's kind of where she popped up first. She was in About a Boy, Oscar winner for The Constant Gardener.
What's with the gardening?
49 today. Peter Sarsgaard, another great actor.
And his role in Black Mass, he was just such a sorry.
He plays a sorry bastard in a lot of stuff. Like Green Lantern, even. Yeah. He was a sniveling bastard.
Mm-hmm. He's 48 today. Wanda Sykes, local celeb, is 55.
We shared a flight with her, Preston.
She brought a little dog in a bag with her.
She did.
A little doggy bag.
I almost want to pretend like she doesn't exist until she...
comes on the show?
She had two shows that she had done at a comedy club here in the city last week. Yeah. I tried to get her on.
She refuses. I don't know if she refuses or she's just shy to stuff like or whatever.
Do you have a contact for her?
And I tried other,
she lives in media.
She's doing two shows here. I was trying, and I really like her, but it's almost like...
I hate to say it, but she's the female Terrence Howard.
She is.
I just, until she acknowledges our existence, I almost want to, not acknowledge her.
Okay. Because we do like her.
Go past this part. Right. Don't ever play this again.
I can rewind it if you want.
Brett, thank you. If you would, we'll take that back. Brett Easton Ellis, an author. He wrote Less Than Zero, American Psycho, and The Rules of Attraction, to name a few.
He's an interesting writer.
He's 55 today. Yeah, he takes interesting...
angles and liberties.
American Psycho,
yes.
Which is pretty wild.
Well, also Rules of Attraction. At one point, the main guy in that, book, is on the phone.
With Wanda Sykes.
With Wanda Sykes saying, it's the Preston and Steve
Come
show.
Come on,
they're in Philadelphia. No, his name is Bateman or whatever.
Yeah.
And so his brother in Rules of Attraction is the guy from American Psycho.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
Fun fact.
It's going to be Fun Fact Thursday.
Yeah. So, fun fact. Our equipment doesn't work.
All right. Daniel J. Trevante, Hill Street Blues, Captain Frank Farrillo, of course.
Steely-eyed.
Yep.
Did you watch the show?
I did. It was, at the time, I was a kid, so it kind of, a lot of it went over my head, but yeah, it was
my
great.
Second wife and I would watch that often.
Your second wife? Is your... No.
You're much older than me.
I'm just very much older than you.
No, I loved it, Preston. That was, you talk about when you, cannot miss, can't miss TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, so he's 79 today. Willard Scott from the Today Show is 85 years young.
And who is he? He was the first Ronald McDonald.
That is correct, yeah.
And he was nice to me in the airport in Paris, whereas...
Howard Hesman was a dick.
Total jerk.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Did you meet them both at the same...
Yeah.
In the same encounter?
Yeah, they were both in Paris because it was the bicentennial for France at the time, so there were a lot of American celebs that went over there. And,
quick observation, Nick. While you never watch Head of the Class, you always use the weather.
That's true.
Yeah.
To this day, Steve.
Yeah.
But Willard Scott took the time to take pictures with everybody. He had a cigar in his hand. I have a photo somewhere of me and Willard Scott.
I think it was in Taiwan. He had one of the most successful whorehouses.
No kidding. That's cool. I didn't bring that up.
No, you remember his thing, his rap on the Today Show would always be, and Gladys, Borfman is 107 today.
That'd yeah.
Be, he did the senior.
He was the guy who started the Years Young, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I said he's 85 years young today.
I think I found that photo recently because I moved last year, and so I'll have to find it and bring it in and show you guys.
Happy birthday, Willard Scott. Two more on here. Michael Eisner, former Disney CEO and chairman. Is 77. And then the last birthday is Football Hall of Famer Franco Harris.
Wow.
Turned 69 years old. So happy birthday to everybody who happens to be celebrating one today. Let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. Who's the only Eagle Scout to ever become a U.S. president? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I will go to Adam. See if he knows the answer. Hey, Adam, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Yes, sir. Adam, who is the only U.S. president that was an Eagle Scout?
That would be Gerald Ford.
You are correct.
How about that? Yeah, you would think, Preston, that that would be a common thing. Yeah,
yeah.
That
they might have that in common, that that they were, born leaders or went through the program, but not the case. It was Gerald Ford. So congratulations to you, Adam. We are going to set you up the 4-pack of tickets to see the Philadelphia Wings face off against the Buffalo Bandits on Friday, Wells Fargo Center, during Fortnite Friday, powered by M3rd Street Games, and you can get tickets at wingslax.com.
I'm sorry, but just look at this picture of a young Gerald Ford.
Oh, my God. He had bad posture then.
What the hell's going on in this picture? I don't like this.
Yeah.
My vagina is too big.
Interesting. All right, well, we're going to leave with this. Kathy led with it in the news, but it's definitely unfortunate. Alex Trebek has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Do we have the audio of him? That's what I'd like to play. Yeah, mm-hmm. Marissa got here? Okay, let's do this. Here we go. This is him with a video that he made for the announcement of this.
I have some news to share with all of you. Just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this. And I'm going to keep working, and with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years.
It was great that he threw that in there, you know, just to kind of lighten it up a little bit.
And again, we were saying earlier, to me, my wife started crying when I played her the video, and I was tearing up. But that clearly is a way to sort of pat his fan base on the back and say,
I think so too.
It's all right.
Yep. Yeah, 78 years old. He's still doing.
He's in phenomenal shape. He's doing great.
Steve, you mentioned earlier about how difficult pancreatic cancer can be. My former mother-in-law died of it, and from the time of her diagnosis to the time that she passed was a month.
Yeah.
And it's just, and you just don't detect it. It's not something that you look for a lot, and so it's just awful.
So, we're going to talk to Dr. Mike about it as well, but I jumped on and started doing, I did more research for pancreatic cancer than I did for my own when I had prostate cancer, you know, because... It's just, I knew ahead of time that there was a lot of information, and I knew a lot of people that had prostate cancer, but pancreatic cancer remains this elusive thing because of the fact that there are no, again, as you said, Nick, when people discover it, it's most often too late.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll get some of those specifics in a little bit, like you said, Dr. Mike coming up, but the Mike Hopkins, the chairman of Jeopardy producer Sony Pictures TV, said, if anybody can beat this, it's Alex. He has our full support as he tackles this challenge head on. He's been the host of Jeopardy since its current iteration debuted in 1984. Previous versions of the game show aired on NBC and in syndication from 1960 to the 70s. And he's won 5 Daytime Emmys for Outstanding Game Show Host and received a Lifetime Achievement Award in 2011. After they extended his contract, along with those of Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak and Vanna White through 2022, CBS Television Distribution in early November renewed both shows through the 2022-23 season. Jeopardy, in its 35th season, by the way, it averages more than 10 million daily viewers. Mm. 10 million daily viewers.
And I'm one of them. I know we all watch it. It is part of my daily routine. Yeah. I record it. I DVR it all the time in case I miss it.
I think that they've moved up the taping, so they're a little more recent than they used to be. But he didn't address this at all in last episode.
No, so they finished up the $1 million...
Right.
Challenge, and then they started, anew, but did not address it. So we'll see. I wonder if they will roll with it on the actual show, because the video that was recorded on the set of Jeopardy.
Yep. Moving on. New insight is being shared in Luke Perry's family's decision to pull his life support. The 52-year-old had suffered the massive stroke on the 27th after being rushed to Burbank, California Hospital. His condition deteriorated, of course. Doctors immediately put him under sedation to try and help his brain heal. A source close to the family said that loved ones hoped that he would emerge from the induced coma, but of course he never regained consciousness. A source said Luke's loved ones were hoping that they'd pull him out of it after 48 hours or so, but he never recovered, and it was devastating. On Monday, family members, including his fiance, had decided to take him off of life support. His son has broken silence, Jack said on Wednesday, sharing a photo from his wrestling matches as his father watches. I've always learned so much from you, and my heart is broken thinking about everything that you won't be here for. I'll miss you every day that I walk this earth. By the way, the CW aired its first episode of Riverdale since he died and dedicated it and the rest of the episodes until the show ends to his memory, of course. Excuse me.
Sucker punches right and left with Luke Perry and with Alex Trebek. It's just too much.
Yeah, you want something lighter?
Yes, please.
How about this? After Kate Beckinsale's ex, Matt Rife, told Pete Davidson to run when asked for relationship advice, many wondered what was going on behind the scenes. But Davidson's pal, Machine Gun Kelly, tells TMZ, and I quote, he's all in, it took me like 15 seconds. She's rad.
She's rad. He's right. She's rad.
So there you go.
She's rad.
That's the official word on it. From, you know, Machine Gun Kelly.
They hang out all the time, you know, Machine Gun Kelly and Pete Davidson. In fact, he was Pete Davidson was modded his look to look like Machine Gun Kelly. This is common knowledge.
No, yes, of course it is. He modeled his look to
a little bit
appear like Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah. Prince Harry was speaking in front of a group of young people about social change on Wednesday, but he kicked things up a notch when he brought his pregnant wife Meghan Markle on stage. They liked that. The thousands of students and teachers there to celebrate hope and change went wild when the Duchess took the stage.
Wow!
Yep. During his speech, he told the 12,000 gathered to hear him, "Every day you are inundated with an overexposure of advertising and mainstream media, social media, and endless comparisons distorting the truth and trying to manipulate the power of positive thinking. But you don't let them sway you."
But enough of that. Take a look at what I've been tapping.
Look at this. So they liked that. This is the only Kardashian moment that I will utter anything. Khloe's ex, Tristan, has been spotted out in New York City with the same mystery woman he was seen with last week.
Well, now that they've broken up, he can finally see other people, Preston.
This comes after he and Khloe broke it off after he allegedly cheated on her with Jordan Woods. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, well, it took him a long time. He was really so broken up about the relationship that he could hardly go back to the people he was seeing during the relationship.
That's all I had to say about that.
That's very quiet.
Yeah.
Do that again. We can't do that.
That's all I had to say about that.
Thank you. Gwyneth Paltrow sees herself as a business person, not a Hollywood star.
I don't care.
The Goop founder sat down with the New York Times and discussed how she's found her calling as a lifestyle entrepreneur and why she thinks psychedelic drugs are the future of medicine.
Really?
Yes.
She's put her foot in it a few times with medical claims about Goop products. She probably needs to stay away from this.
Well, it's not a Goop product, but
she's not going to sell LSD.
She's not going to sell acid. On her career, she said, "I was masquerading as an actor." Adding that
a tragic story.
Her mother, Blythe Danner, told her not to follow in her footsteps. She always said, "Oh, please, don't be an actress." This was she was pleading with me to leverage my intellectual self more than my artistic self. And I think she was just trying to protect me from a lot of rejection. It can be a heartbreaking career.
My mother told me to put the toilet seat down.
But she ended up enjoying epic success. Of course, she won an Oscar in 1998.
But she likes being a lifestyle. What did she describe herself as?
A lifestyle
entrepreneur.
How was it? Lifestyle entrepreneur.
Yeah. Lifestyle entrepreneur.
She didn't call herself that. This report calls herself that. So on being dismissed, she says that while people still tend to dismiss strong female leaders, she says, being a fully engaged CEO in charge of Goop, especially after the death of her powerful producer father, Bruce Paltrow, in 2002, has helped her denounce those who dismiss her. Still, she credits her father's example for the way she leads. She said, "My dad was a benevolent, tough Jewish boss. He was very loved for the most part, and he gave me a template for how one leads, consciously or unconsciously."
He put some Goop in mommy, and I came out.
That's exactly what happened. Now, on drugs.
Love them.
The 46-year-old who has been notably ahead of the curve on the whole gluten-free, conscious uncoupling thing.
Yes.
Has also launched a few bloopers, like the hormone-regulating, improving vaginal egg. When asked what she thought of the future of medicine would be, had this to say. She said, "I think how psychedelics affect health and mental health and addiction will come more into the mainstream. And I mean, there's undeniably some link between being in that state and being connected to some other universal cosmic something."
Mm-hmm. Undeniably. What the hell is she talking about?
I don't know.
Enough.
We're talking about doing acid. She's talking about eating shrooms.
Eating shrooms.
That's what she does. Disgraced celebrity chef Mario Batali has given up financial stakes in all of his restaurants. It was announced yesterday.
So what does he, as Mario Batali, now own, or where's his, I mean, other than,
I don't know,
is he just simply going to go back to being a chef?
This is more than a year after several women accused him of sexual misconduct. Batali apologized at the time and stepped away from day-to-day involvement in his restaurants related businesses. His stake was bought out by his former partner, Joe Bastianici, or Bastianich, whatever.
Bastianich.
And other partners. No criminal charges were ever brought against him after New York City police closed several cases because of lack of evidence. But he got out anyway because the damage has been done.
Yeah, so I'm sure he got a pretty hefty payday.
Those two stories were kind of linked because Gwyneth and Mario used to be really great friends, and she's sort of disowned him, as have other celebrities, because you got to distance yourself from a guy like this.
What you don't know, Nick, is that she did send him a couple of vaginal eggs.
Oh, well. Yeah. I mean, he's got to.
And he made them into a lovely souffle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Vaginal souffle.
Disney's Maleficent, Mistress of Evil.
Yes.
Starring Angelina Jolie has been pushed from its Memorial Day release date in 2020 to October 18th of this year.
I love Maleficent.
I did,
I
too.
I love the movie.
It's
I really do.
It's a good movie.
And I love her performance.
Yeah.
I love things.
The sequel will be up against MGM's animated The Addams Family.
What?
And an untitled Blumhouse film. Wow, an animated Addams Family movie. If they do that right, if they do it dark,
yes,
that could be really good.
It could be very good. And if they do it, you know, basically in Despicable Me, Gru is a larger version of the way Gomez.
A little bit, yeah.
You know what? They never actually, I don't think they actually had names in the original Addams Family comics. I think they were just simply written, depicted. I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Nick, I think the names came much later.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, Gomez wasn't Gomez. He was just simply the father of the Addams Family.
Huh. Okay. I know that it was, you know, while it was a great TV show,
yes,
and very, very funny, the stories were a little bit darker, weren't they?
They were. Yeah. They were, yeah.
Joachim Rønning is directing the sequel.
They got Joachim.
The Maleficent sequel to the $758.5 million global grossing 2014 hit. So he's
yeah. In the comics, Steve, you're right. They weren't. They didn't have names initially, and then they became Lurch, Thing, Cousin Aunt,
Fester.
So, yeah.
Okay. So we're looking at what is this? Is oh well, this might be sort of their renderings for the movie.
Yeah, we're looking at the animation, and that looks cool.
I loved the Addams Family TV series.
It was a great
show. I loved it.
Yeah. So the two-part documentary, Leaving Neverland, which we touched on a couple of times, drew HBO's third biggest audience for a documentary in a decade. The Dan Reed...
Doesn't anyone have Netflix?
...helmed film features Wade Robson and James Safechuck detailing the alleged sexual misconduct at the hands of Michael Jackson. His estate denies the allegations. According to the Hollywood Reporter, part one of Leaving Neverland averaged 1.29 million viewers for its first airing on Sunday night. That comes in behind Going Clear, Scientology, and the Prison of Belief.
Okay.
And Bright Lights, starring Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
It's really like a whole compendium of, they show a lot of the footage of the time when they were going. You see a lot of Neverland footage that you've never seen before. They show the, I've had no plastic surgery. I've had no plastic surgery. And the dude of feces, all of that stuff is all contained in that 4 hours. So yeah. you're not only is it a history of this sexual abuse, which is horrific, but it is sort of a history of Michael himself at the time, at the height of his fame.
Right. And by the way, I rewatched that Going Clear. I've watched it like five or six times.
Likewise.
It's still awesome.
Still get you.
It's crazy.
Blows your mind.
It's crazy.
Are you up to date on the Leah Remini series?
No, I got
to
get back into it.
Yeah.
I got to get back into
it's
it.
Good.
We watched the first two seasons like appointment television.
Christine, it's appointment television.
I've fizzled on this recent season. I got to get back to it. I only have one more story. I didn't have a whole lot of entertainment stuff today. Naomi Scott is set to play Princess Jasmine in the 2019 live-action remake of Aladdin. She recently opened up to British Vogue about how she wants to modernize her image and craft a stronger female figure she wants young girls to look up to. She tells Vogue that her vision for the role was a deal-breaker. She said, I saw her as a young woman, not a teenager, with a mature strength that can cut you down. So I said to them, just to let you know, I want to play her strong. And if that's not what you're looking for, that's okay, but it's not for me.
Okay.
And she'll be starring alongside Will Smith, of course, who plays the genie. No, they hired her.
Okay. And that's no problem. It's your first movie. Goodbye.
Mena Massoud, who plays Aladdin. By the way, I watched Ralph Breaks the Internet over the weekend.
Yes. You liked it, you said.
It was cute. It was great. But they have, you know, it's because bringing up Jasmine here, they have the... the Disney princesses in an important part of the movie. It's great. It's
is it?
Great.
Okay, cool.
It is great. They really have some fun with all the princesses.
I wonder how this movie's going to do, this Aladdin movie, because I really have no interest in it, but I wasn't that interested in the live action adaptations of some of the other Disney classics. It just looks a little odd to me, so I'm really curious.
Yeah, the Will Smith genie thing threw me for a loop, threw a lot of people for a loop. I got to tell you, though, the Beauty and the Beast live action, I freaking love it.
They're banking on that stuff, or they're not banking on it, but they're really going after that with Disney, because you've got not only Aladdin, but you've got Dumbo coming out, and also The Lion King.
Which looks great.
Live action. So, so they're taking it to another level. but I wonder if way down the road, if some of these current films, these current franchises that have popped up, like Frozen, or maybe Tangled, that down the road they'll try to do a live action adaptation of that as well.
They have live action on Broadway, Frozen. Why not?
Yeah. So Scott also says that her role, this is Naomi Scott, in the upcoming Charlie's Angels will be similarly modernized. She said it's about women at work. You don't see much about their personal lives or who they're dating. It's about the agency going global, getting into intelligence and tech whistleblowing. You don't see bikini shots of their bums. So she stars in Charlie's Angels alongside Kristen Stewart and Ella Balinska. So I'm not sure when that's coming out, but I did like the TV.
They were fun.
The movies, they were fun.
They were fun.
So they're going to take another shot at it. All right, we're already getting into clips.
It.
Gloria Bell follows a free-spirited divorcee in her spending her nights dancing. What?
What the hell does that mean?
In her spending her nights dancing through the L.A. club scene.
Nana Puya.
Seeking out love, Nana Puya. In this clip, Brad Garrett, who plays her ex-husband, talks about working with director Sebastian Lelio.
What?
I don't know. These are just words that I'm reading.
It was a tough entertainment news day. Give the man a break.
Here we go.
I'll never forget the first day he looked at me and he went, "Just do what I tell you." And it was a wonderful collaboration. He's very kind, very nice, and he lets you discover things. And he's open to improv, and he likes to let people, bring their own idea of who the character is.
I don't think I want to see it.
So Julianne Moore's in this movie?
I see. I totally got thrown off because I thought you were talking about a person named Gloria Bell, but that's the name of the movie.
Did he not explain it clear enough to you?
Follows a free-spirited divorcee in her spending her nights dancing.
I got it completely.
It has a lot to do with dancing, this movie. I've seen I figured that would perk you up there for a moment, Kathy. But I've seen the trailer for it, but dance is a big part of...
In her nights.
Whatever this movie is, in her spending her nights dancing through the L.A. club.
Got Rita Wilson in it, Steve.
Rita Wilson is a lovely girl.
Lovely.
Plus she mentioned Tom Hanks. It's just a joy. Joy and I went over the other night. Yeah. We had some shish kebab, which was delicious. But as is always my case, I grabbed the shish kebab when it was just off the barbecue and I burned my hand.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you what a trooper Rita is. She had some Bactine in the medicine
cabinet. My God. Wow.
Came into the room, sprayed it on my hand, cooled them right off, and we continued with great conversation and
laughter. That's great. Yeah. Shish kebab.
Shish kebab.
Laughter.
That's great. One last clip.
Wonderful woman.
In AP Bio, a former philosophy professor takes on a job teaching high school and uses his students to get revenge on people in his personal life. In this clip, Glenn Howerton talks about how he couldn't say no to this role.
I wasn't going to do it at all, anything. But this is one of those things where this script hit my desk, and it was just so funny. Right from the beginning, I felt like he'd written it for me, and he absolutely did not.
Yeah!
So AP Bio returns for season 2 tonight. That is on NBC, by the way.
So really, for all intents and purposes, he is playing virtually the same character he plays on It's Always Sunny.
Yeah,
Dennis. Just with a better job.
Yeah.
But that's okay, as was the case with the Mick. She was playing basically D.
Yeah.
But a little bit more maternal D.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
These characters work, so go for it.
And Glenn's a great guy.
He is.
Oh, man, is he a great guy. We're done with the clips, we're done with the entertainment report, but we definitely want to get in one more quick segment with our friend Dr. Mike from Penn Medicine and Fox 29 about Alex Trebek and his announcement, and we were all shocked by that.
Absolutely.
And when you hear pancreatic cancer, Oh, man, it's a gut punch.
Yeah.
Every single time, because you just, you know, the mortality rate is very, very low.
Alex himself acknowledges it.
Yeah. Dr. Mike, good morning, sir.
Hello there, Preston. Hello, Steve. Boy, we're having a busy week with celebrities.
That's yes, it's very sad, and we said, well, we have to give Dr. Mike another call because this really is a sucker punch on top of Luke Perry's massive stroke, and you gave us a whole bunch of information about this. But, you know, I think everyone is looking at this, Dr. Mike, and saying, this is not good in any way, because pancreatic cancer, just by its very nature, when it's diagnosed, it's always diagnosed when it's usually very advanced, correct?
Most of the time. The problem, and by the way, you know, I deal with all kinds of diseases and I dance with the Grim Reaper every day.
Yeah.
I hate pancreatic cancer. I hate it. I hate it. And the reason I hate it is that I don't have any really good tools to diagnose it early. And that is one of the ways you can prevent spread. So in this case, he said he had stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which means that it has spread. It's advanced. And remember, Kathy mentioned in her news report that he had had some blood clots in his brain. You know, the question is, when you have cancer, sometimes your blood gets a little thicker and can cause clots. It's called Trousseau syndrome. And so that could cause strokes, but it can also cause blood clots in the brain like he had. So he probably had this for a while and was diagnosed later on, like usually, with either what we call painless jaundice. That's where you walk in, you say, geez, my eyes are yellow, and I've seen that in my own practice a bunch of times, or some gnawing pain in your stomach. That is another sign of it, but it can be very subtle, and that's what makes it so dangerous.
So something that is obviously so lethal really comes in very, very quietly and presents in a sort of benign fashion.
Right. And that's the kicker. Now, there are researchers looking at this. How primary care providers like me, how can we diagnose it early? They're looking at it. There's some blood tests. They're not ready for prime time yet. There's no screening test for pancreatic cancer. But I want to say this. One, there are newer treatments coming out. And what we used to think was a death sentence in months, we are now talking years. And so it's very possible with good treatment and good care that he may have, you know, years to go.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have a question about the, you know, because we hear often when there's a cancer diagnosis about the stages. And you had mentioned stage 4, it's already spread. In a Cliff's Notes version, do you know what the stage 1, 2, and 3 and what all those things are categorized or how you would describe those?
Well, it all has to do with the size of the tumor. Most pancreatic tumors start in what's called the head of the pancreas. That's where it's closest to the bile ducts. And so it has to do with size, whether it has spread outside the pancreas to other organs. And so that's how you make the diagnosis. Very few are diagnosed early. And usually, and at least in my own experience, I'll find them serendipitously. I'll find them by mistake or just incidentally because I was looking for something else. And there are other cysts on the pancreas that we follow. They're called IPMNs or intrapancreatic mucinous neoplasms. They are benign, but they have to be followed because sometimes they can turn on you. Now, for everybody out there listening, one, there is hope. Number two, if you're smoking, stop it because that's one of the risk factors. And the other thing, if you all of a sudden develop diabetes, this is a little like Dr. Mike House thing for you guys. If out of the blue you develop diabetes and you don't have a history of diabetes, get it checked out because that is one of the signs that we sometimes see in early pancreatic cancer. All of a sudden, their blood sugars are high. What's that all about?
Yeah. So, Dr. Mike, when news like this breaks, people often ask what they can do. And I was contacted on Twitter last night by PanCan Philadelphia. It's a pancreatic cancer organization right here in Philadelphia. And just to let people know, there is a Purple Light Sunday on April 28th. That's a Sunday. It's at Independence Mall. You can email me for information or go to PanCan Philly on Twitter. That's PanCan Philly, and that's the Purple Light Sunday, April 28th, and they're going to what they're just, you know, try to do is raise awareness about pancreatic cancer and how to fight it.
One along those lines, Nick, very quickly. Number one, you want to make sure you don't smoke. Number two, keep your weight down. There's some associative studies showing that if you're obese, it increases your risk. High fat diets, that's another risk factor. And you just want, and then unfortunately, genetics. You can't do anything about that. And
yeah.
I've come to realize you can change what you can. You have to realize what you can change, and you can change your diet. Stop smoking, and that will be in your best
Dr. interest. Mike, you know, you're always going on about the colonoscopy and getting that done, and that's a regular checkup. Since I know that I have heard that these tumors on the pancreas have been detected via CAT scans, why is there not just a regular, you know, go every year and get your pancreas checked out, or go every 5 years and have that taken look at? Why do we not have a regular checkup on that?
Well, Oprah Winfrey has talked about, you know, full body scans, and that's never been there. There are two risk factors with that. One, we're going to find some little ditzel in your lung or your kidney. You're going to go to surgery, have it taken out. It was benign, and you'll die from complications from surgery. So
right.
That's one of the risks. The other is, say we do this, and then a month later, and it's fine, and then 3 months later, you start developing pancreatic cancer. What are we going to do every month?
Right.
So what we need is a screening test. So for colon cancer, a good screening test is a digital rectal exam, much made fun of, but a very important test to look for blood in the stool. Colonoscopies, women, breast cancer, mammogram. There's nothing yet screening for pancreatic cancer. They are working on it. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the day, like in Star Trek, Steve will love this.
Yes.
You know, where Bones has a little device he puts on his finger, and you just run it over the patient's body, and they find everything without even a needle. I mean, that's where I'm going.
So, Mike, they were saying last night that there are some people who have who are genetically predisposed to be able to live longer with the prostate cancer, that that it's an anomalous sort of thing, but they're trying to understand what it is about their genetic makeup that allows them to live longer. And have you heard anything about that, or any information that's been gleaned from this research?
Well, there's always going to be people that are resistant. There was just a story, you probably heard about it, and a patient that had Hodgkin's disease got a stem cell transplant, and it cured his HIV.
Yeah.
And that was because of he got in his transplant this mutation that allows him to fight off HIV. So, down the road, I think you're going to find that precision medicine, where we look at your particular genetic makeup, we're doing it already. So I'll bet you anything, they're going to biopsy his pancreatic cancer, look at the genetic makeup so they can find out what chemotherapy is most effective for him, and whether or not he's eligible for a trial looking at immunotherapy. And that is really the crest of a wave of a new way of treating cancer. It's very exciting. We just have to hang in there.
Yeah.
I want people to know, if they have this, you take one day at a time and realize that people are working very, very hard to come up with ways to diagnose it early and to treat it effectively.
All right.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Dr. Mike. We appreciate the heads up. I'm sure you'll be on Fox 29 this morning, right?
I'm in the green room.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, bud.
Love you.
All right.
Love you.
Dr. Mike, watching out for you all the time. Well, with that, we are going to take a break. We have a bunch to get to today. We'll return in just a little bit. Make sure that you stay with us. We'll have some goodies for you when we get back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
There's something I want you to try out. I kind of gave an assignment to everybody on the show because I was watching a movie a couple of weeks ago, and an actor that I really liked, for some reason I saw this person cast in the role of somebody who works here at MMR. If there were to be an MMR the movie, I was like, that'd be the guy who'd play him, probably. And I just made a mental note of it. And then I started to expand that a little bit. I'm like, well, who would play this person? And who would play that person? And I ended up casting an entire movie, MMR the movie, of the people that we work with. And I thought it might be a fun little assignment for us to cast MMR the movie and compare and see who we end up having play these roles. You might want to try doing that at your own job. Who would play those people that you work with if you were to cast a movie, let's say, or a TV show?
Yes.
You know, I mean, like The Office, you talk about a mundane, standard job. Maybe you have one of those, and it might not seem an interesting movie to cast. But if you were to, who would play who around The Office?
So when you asked us to do this, there was two reactions. I hated the idea, and I loved the idea, because I knew I would love the idea, but I knew how difficult it would be.
It's hard.
So I had to decide how you approach, and you sort of get an idea of how casting directors go about. Remember, so harken back to when Michael Keaton was announced to play Batman.
Okay. Right.
You can now, of course he's Batman.
Yeah, but then what? Excuse me?
So I'm thinking, do you cast in spirit? Do you cast in looks? And how I approached everyone here.
Yeah.
And honestly, also, you know, there are stars and then there are substars and there are people who you'll see the guy who's the UPS guy
yep.
on Growing Pains and go, he looks just like Casey.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But you don't know that guy's name.
I started with looking like.
Yeah.
And then I went into, yeah, but you don't necessarily have to nail exactly what they look like. Just a basic ballpark of that. But who would be able to pull off that person's personality, acting-wise, is what I went with eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. In some cases, I did that.
Yeah.
In some cases, I went with looks. In some cases, there's absolutely no correlation to...
In a few of them, I cast several people. I'm like, it could be this person, that person,
yeah,
and
yeah,
that
yeah.
person.
I did that with one person.
So I have a couple of good. Those. Okay.
Did you guys worry about hurting anybody's feelings by casting?
No.
Okay.
No.
I big time.
I always skewed positive.
Yeah.
Because I figured I would catch less crap if I did that.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, casting me in this.
Oh, I made sure that you, this is, like, really somebody good looking.
Really?
Yeah, because I thought.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, but you don't have to.
Also, there is a guy who I was thinking of, and it wasn't my selection for you eventually,
mm-hmm.
but he, you know, he would have to grow a little bit of beard to play you.
I mean,
somebody could grow a beard to look like you.
Or I thought of that. There's a bearded person here at our offices that I was like, I can't think of anybody. And I'm like, well, forget the beard and the hair.
Yeah.
It's Pierre I'm talking about. Forget the beard and the hair and mm-hmm. just go with an actor that they can put that stuff on. We could put a wig on and have them grow a beard and then they might be able to pull it off.
It's funny you mentioned Pierre. He was my most difficult.
Okay. Yeah. He was hard. Nick?
I had fun with this. It was challenging. And Steve, like, I didn't want to just go with a bald guy for you because I thought
I get that all the time.
I know.
Hey,
and I thought
my uncle looks exactly like you. And then I see the guy or meet the guy at the
event.
And not no offense to this guy I'm always meeting, but Jesus Christ.
So I thought that was kind of lazy. And so for me, and we love TV and movies so much that I wanted to, I thought a lot about the actors who I think could bring out the personality in the people that they'd be playing. So some of these may seem a little bit out of left field, but I think that for some of them, the actor would do justice to the person that they'd be portraying.
All right, so I say this. Do you want to progress per? Because I just did air staff, and you did a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to start going air staff around the room?
Yeah, that's
each
what we'll
person?
Do.
Okay.
Each person.
Oh, we'll
and rather than do the whole list, we'll do who would you have play this person.
All right,
so
right.
This is, we have an official announcement. It's MMR, the movie, the casting.
Yes, I was hoping.
As per members of the Preston and Steve show, and if you know the staff well, then maybe you can have some suggestions and feel free to text those in. But I want you to try this exercise at your own job today.
Also, I probably should have asked this a while ago, but it's okay if the actor is no longer with us, right?
I didn't do that.
No.
I did for at least one.
Okay,
because
that's
Preston would have been Vincent Price.
Yeah. All right, who do you want to start with? You want to start with our show?
You pick. Yes, our show, because that's all I did and air staff. Start with our show, though.
Okay, well, let's start in the name that leads the President Steve show. We'll start with me. How about that?
Okay. Sure.
I had a hard time casting me.
Yeah.
I don't have anybody for you.
You don't have anybody
really?
For me?
No.
Okay. I'm curious what you guys
think. Do you want to start with me since I'm
Steve.
The Steve?
Who plays me?
The original guy I was thinking of that I think has your instant likability with looks.
Okay.
Do you remember the guy who played this is not who I went with, but I just want to explain.
Yeah.
In A Liar, Liar, the guy who's the dad who's in the courtroom battle with Jennifer Tilly?
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh. Well, it's been so long since I've seen that.
Since that, I knew would be the reaction and no one would know who he is. I went with Jamie Dornan.
Jamie Dornan.
Oh, Gray.
50 Shades of Gray.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got the he's with the, got a little bit of the beard.
Okay.
Kathy's shocked. I'm shocked. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
But I got to say no on that.
He's too young.
Listen. Ooh. Listen.
Well, yes.
It's okay. So wait till we get to you because I have two options. In some cases, I figured younger playing older,
yeah,
or older playing younger.
All right,
I'm actually the most thrilled with this casting. Okay. I told you, Preston, I needed to go good looking because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. But what do you guys think about Idris Elba?
Oh my God!
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, so Case.
No.
For
so
Pierre, I'm just going to jump ahead. I went with Idris Elba.
Okay.
All right. I have two people here, and you can take your pick, Preston.
All right.
I went with David Harbour or Josh Brolin.
David Harbour was one of mine, too, Case. That's
from
a good
Stranger
one.
From Stranger Things.
From Stranger Things.
I love that guy.
Currently playing Hellboy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Nick, who did you have as me?
I like both of those, Casey. I went with Dylan McDermott, and I think Dylan McDermott brings some gravitas. I think that he can be a really serious actor. He's got a beard, but he also can be funny in a sort of a sly way. So,
Kathy, am I better looking than I think I am? Is that what these people are telling me?
You're so handsome. But I think they're overdoing it. No, okay. I'm just kidding.
Wait a second. So before you get to yours.
Okay. I like Dylan McDermott, though. I think that's a good choice.
I'm going with David Harbour. Okay. All right. Yeah. Honestly,
not Josh Brolin, huh?
I think because there is a likability to him as well.
Yeah.
Also with a bit more, he has a wryer sense of humor.
Yeah. Josh Brolin's way more manly than I am.
I don't know. You're pretty manly, but he's also got like good pipes. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Kathy.
For you?
For me.
I didn't have anybody for you.
Here's what I have for me.
All right.
Here's who I'd like to see play, to be honest.
Okay.
Paul Rudd.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
He's a likable guy. He's a decent looking dude. Does he look like me? No. But I would like to see him play me.
Listen, it's all subjective. I don't see that.
And then the other one I had, albeit he's much older than I am, but I don't know why, if we wanted, because I've got the gray and the beard and everything. Gary Oldman was somebody that I put down,
too. He's still crazy, though.
I know, but he can play anything.
You're right.
He can do anything.
All right.
He's a really, really talented actor. So
I was going more for visual.
I like David Harbour, Casey. I think that's
David Harbour, I think, is the best.
That's a good call.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you know what? Should we do a final casting?
Well, Marissa.
Marissa.
You might have somebody
as well.
Okay, go
ahead. Marissa?
It's funny because I had Paul Rudd for somebody else in the show, but for you, Preston, I had Ethan Hawke.
Oh, my gosh.
Ethan Hawke is actually not a bad choice.
Okay.
I think David Harbour still wins. But I think Ethan Hawke, age range.
Right.
Versatile actor.
He was great in Boyhood.
Great in Boyhood, which Kathy loves.
What's that, Marissa?
That was my inspiration, Boyhood.
Okay.
Can I also just put this caveat out there that we know that all of these actors are better looking than we are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, like, when the texts start coming in, they're like, way too good looking. They're Hollywood actors.
We're shooting high.
Yeah,
we know. Trust me. No one says how bad they look more than you and I do, Preston.
Well, listen, how often have you seen a movie about someone's life, somebody you've never seen before, and then at the end of the movie, they show the real person that they played?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And you're like, wow, they really aimed high on that.
I wanted to do a thing with Nick Murphy because they do it all the time on these shows, like the paranormal shows, where haunted house investigations, Preston, and then they reenact it.
Yeah.
It's always like a playmate playing the wife, and a super jack dude playing the. And then you see the couple that they're actually portraying, and it's laughable.
Yeah.
But they do that all the time. That's the nature of Hollywood.
All right, Steve Morrison, I have.
All right.
I wrote down a couple for you.
All right.
But I went the really, really talented thespian to play Steve. I think perfect in this role would be Cate Blanchett. Because
she could.
No. There are two that I have. There's an obvious one because of how you look and you've gotten your comparisons over the years.
Right.
Is Michael Chiklis.
Yes.
Great actor.
Chiklis all the time.
And he can do heavy roles. He was in a Three Stooges movie.
Yes, he was.
Where he played Curly.
Yeah.
So I know he can pull off the comedy chops.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then the other one, because this guy's a very versatile actor, he really doesn't do it. And he has done some comedy stuff, but for some reason, he's older than you, I believe, but he could probably pull it off. He doesn't look like you, but J.K. Simmons is such a great actor.
Oh.
I thought maybe so.
I could see that.
Okay.
I'm gonna like the J.K. Simmons in that.
All right. What do you? How about who do you? Or do you? Well, let's save you for last.
Save me for last.
All right. Case?
Yeah. So I think who Michael Chiklis was an obvious one. Terry O'Quinn was another obvious one.
Terry O'Quinn's I've gotten off. Dinner and Lost was on. I got that quite a bit.
But then also Bryan Cranston, you know, when he shaved his head in Breaking Bad.
Man. I would take that.
Yeah. That's good.
Take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's really good. Kath?
So I went like I had Terry O'Quinn there, but I also did Bruce Willis because I thought he's very smart. He's a smart actor, but he can be funny.
Okay.
All right.
My first the actor I first wrote down was Terry O'Quinn as well, but I changed it, and I mean this as a compliment. Because of comedic stylings, and it might be a stretch, but for whatever reason, it clicked for me. Chevy Chase. And I say that because Chevy Chase has evolved as an actor, and his comedy stylings now are different than they used to be. And so I just thought perhaps he'd be able to pull off.
I appreciate the interest. I finally,
let's go to Marissa. Real
quick. Marissa, okay,
Maris.
I went a couple. You mentioned some, so I won't repeat them. But also Frank Caliendo.
Wow. Okay. Because the voices.
Yeah, I think that was just that's immediate with that.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
I love Frank, but.
Yeah. Or Paul Giamatti.
That's great.
Like, not Billions, but like a few years ago.
You mean Pig Vomit from Private Parts?
No, I was thinking.
I was thinking
like John Adams.
Clint Howard or the back of my ballsack.
I'm thinking, Clint Howard or that little tab of flesh behind my balls.
I had Bryan Cranston as well, too, but I just didn't want to repeat.
Not Rocky Dennison or John Merrick?
I have Rocky Dennison for myself this week.
Okay. Steve,
I finally gave myself Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Finally.
Okay.
I think also structurally, I'm probably more along that line. The comedic level. I think, though, I have to say J.K. Simmons is intriguing.
Hmm. I like Cranston personally, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm going to place my vote. I'm going to modify it.
Okay.
I'm going to place my vote for Cranston.
Wow. What do you guys think?
I still like mine, but I think Bruce Willis is good, too. I mean, Steve, you're an interesting cat. And there's nobody quite like you.
That's for sure.
Kind
of like Bruce, yeah. I don't know. I think they're all really good, except for Paul Giamatti.
I'm gonna take Bruce or Rocky Dennison.
Okay. All right. Anyhow.
Rocky Dennis, by the way.
Yeah, oh, I thought it was Dennison.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll leave that one up in the air. Bryan Cranston or Bruce Willis or.
We're actually casting and having to come to a conclusion.
So
all right, got it.
Right, let me cast my vote then. I'll seal it up. I'll give myself Bruce Willis.
Okay. All right. So Casey, who's going to play Casey?
Okay. You want me to go? You want to go?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This, I feel, has always been the case, and I think it captures spirit and physicality. Jack Black.
Anybody else put Jack Black?
Yes. That was one.
Everybody.
Have another one.
Yeah. Marissa, who did you put down Jack Black?
I tried to go out of the box. I was thinking Jack Black. Then I was thinking Zach Galifianakis. Then I went total left turn, and I said Adam Ferrara.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Kathy?
I had Rob Kardashian.
Rob!
Wow. He's sweet, isn't he?
I actually have one, and I wanted to go outside the box, too. And you will not recognize this guy's name, but I will tell you the roles he's played. I think he'd be perfect to play Casey. Although Jack Black, with the singing and all of that stuff, is so Casey, it's ridiculous. But there's an actor named Dan Fogler. Currently on The Walking Dead. He plays a character called Luke. He was in Fanboys.
And the Goldbergs.
He's
the uncle.
Yeah. And in Fanboys, he drives the van. Yeah. And Casey, he's a boisterous. He can do really over-the-top stuff, fat, you know. Yeah, no. He's got similar characteristics to you, and he's funny. So I put him down, but I think Jack Black is the obvious.
And Marissa actually had one she didn't mention, which was the woman whose face was ripped off by the chimpanzee.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't consider her.
Remember
that.
You know what?
Right.
I think she died, so
we could mention. Yeah.
Okay.
Casey, didn't you used to get turtle a lot?
Turtle, yeah.
Yeah, it's just because I wore the backwards hat.
That's what it was.
I mean, Jerry Ferrara is that guy's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I also got, Fred
Martha
Durst.
Quinn.
No, Fred Durst. And it was the backwards hat thing. I think, you know, I don't think facially I look like those guys. I mean, Jerry Ferrara was like, he's big old Italian guy with giant eyebrows. You know what I mean? But he was just fat and he wore a backwards cap. So.
All right, we are casting MMR the movie. We have David Harbour as me, Bruce Willis as Steve, Jack Black as Casey. Now on to Kathy Romano.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had fun casting this.
I went with two.
Okay, I have a couple as well.
Would you like to go? Or, yeah.
I don't care.
All right, well, go ahead.
I went with, if I was trying to do the, you know, the darker complected sexy gal, which is what Kathy is around here, I initially said, or to have fun, I was going to say Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Because Kathy doesn't like, well,
my
she does kind of like her. I either had Eva Longoria.
I love her. Okay.
Eva Longoria for that part of it. But for acting and pulling off Kathy's sassiness and disgust that she shows on the air from time to time, I thought a really fun person to play her would be Kristen Wiig.
Okay, I like her too.
Just personality-wise, mm-hmm. I think she could pull you off.
Okay.
I went younger playing older for some reason.
What do you mean?
Demi Lovato.
Okay.
Okay.
Has a sort of exotic look.
Mm-hmm.
Older playing younger, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'm happy with my choice here.
All right,
go ahead.
And I didn't go mean like Kathy did on me. I went with Jessica Alba. And I think that age-wise, you guys are pretty damn close. I think
they're both in their 50s.
Probably older. Yeah, but it's not like you're not boring.
I'm not boring like her, for sure.
But she could pull it off. She's an actress. Marissa, mm-hmm. What do you think? Kathy's role.
Kathy, I hope you're excited about this one because I was really excited. This was the one that was definitive for me.
Okay.
Leslie Mann.
Leslie Mann.
Oh, okay.
Dark hair. She's about 30 years younger than Kathy.
Stop it.
No, no. She's... it's about the same age range.
I like her, too.
She could pull off the
sassiness. She's super talented.
I get her voice, though, sometimes.
I know.
Oh, really?
I love her voice. I love everything about her.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kathy. I like her, too, but her voice sometimes. What's that, Marissa?
Her personality. I thought she could play Kathy really well.
All right, Nick.
I don't know why, but this actress always reminds me of you, Kathy, and she's gorgeous, just like you, Eva Mendes.
Yes, and I love her, too. I love Eva Mendes, and I love Eva Longoria.
Anybody named Eva?
I'm surprised.
We all went with these Latin ladies.
What about Ava Gabor?
Well, I'm surprised nobody went with J-Lo.
Well, that was my pick for me, was J-Lo.
How about Jay Wright?
She was the first one I had in mind, honestly, but I thought she was too old.
She's too old.
She's, like, sassy, and I wouldn't mind looking like her, so that's okay. Yeah, that was my pick, J-Lo. Hmm.
How about Cameron Mannheim?
Cameron Mannheim, the really...
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a different one then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying the big overweight gal.
Yeah, that's not
a big fat
person. I was thinking of that. Then I have the actress wrong then.
I wish I would have thought of Eva Mendes, because I think that's probably the best suited one for the weight.
You remember we were talking about it was her birthday the other day. She's got some great comedic chops, too, mm-hmm. so she might be good in Kathy's...
Yeah, something about her personality, her smile, it just reminds me of you.
Okay.
Who am I thinking of?
Do we need to finally decide, or do you just want to move on to these?
We don't have a consensus here.
Does the person get to pick?
Yeah, Kathy?
I either like J-Lo or Eva Longoria. Those are my two favorites. So, okay. I don't know. You guys choose between them.
I'm thinking Catherine Zeta-Jones playing younger. But of the two...
Do we want to leave these up to maybe the listeners?
Yeah, maybe we could do that.
All right.
Let's continue on, because we have a ways to go here. Nick McElwain. Nick was the easiest one for me to catch.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Nick was difficult
for me.
I'm
happy about this one as well.
I immediately thought of Nick. I thought of actor Chris O'Dowd.
Oh.
Who has a big head.
Yes.
And
does he?
He does. He's already got Nick's beard. And if you've seen, he's been in tons of movies. He was in This Is 40. What else is Chris O'Dowd?
Bridesmaids. He's in that Get Shorty show. I like this. This is flattering for me. I'm a huge fan.
He said it, right? Yeah. Get Shorty. You said Shorty. Like I said, Torky in the Straw. You said Get Shorty.
TV show Get Shorty.
I'm really happy with casting Chris O'Dowd for Nick.
That's not bad. Certainly not bad.
Steve?
Right, I gave him a gift. I couldn't really think of anybody. I thought this would be a perfect time for Eddie Vedder to play Nick.
You know, Steve, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I figured, why not give him a gift?
I was happy about this casting. I thought Jason Segel.
Jason Segel could actually, yes. So, yes.
I'm not nearly that good looking, but that's well, flattering as well.
Structurally, you're similar.
He's not good looking.
I don't consider him a really good looking guy.
He's not ugly.
Chris O'Dowd is better looking.
I was thinking Jason Sudeikis. I was not thinking Jason Segel from the comedy movies. Yep, okay, that's a nice one too. All right.
Well, there's some good ones coming in for Kathy. Mandy Moore could play Kathy.
Ooh!
One that I thought was really good. Where was it? I lost it. Leah Remini. Although pre what she's done to her face.
Yeah.
I think Leah Remini would be really good.
I had someone else come to mind, and I got it confused, but there's an actress I have in mind, and I have to do a little searching. Cameraman, I was wrong, but I'm thinking of who it. I think structurally, facially, looks a lot like Kathy.
Okay,
and now my brain is having Cameron a cerebral hemorrhage.
So many people. Maybe like when they become too bitchy on set, we can fire them and hire somebody
else. Yeah, we'll have a stable of them.
That would be apropos.
I wanted to give Nick's before you move on. I picked Eric McCormack. From
Will and Grace?
Yes. Only because you're not sure, like, is he gay? He plays gay, but he's really not. You know what I mean?
Thanks. Okay. Marissa?
You see Nick as being veiled gay.
She's taking a shot at everybody.
I'm so scared. Preston, because I was so dead set on Ethan Hawke for you, I chose Paul Rudd for Nick.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's flattering.
I could see Paul
Rudd.
Paul Rudd
could work.
Yep. Okay.
And I had two for me, and I couldn't quite decide. I had either Kevin Connolly from Entourage or Mike Myers. And for whatever reason, I get Mike Myers... More
Do
often
you?
Than you would think, yeah.
Really?
I don't quite see it, but some people have said that over the years, and that's funny because I got different actors from everybody.
Used to, years ago, you know, if you were like 70 or older, people would say, you look like Alan Funt. Candid Camera. I'm like,
shut up.
You shut the hell up.
Okay. All right, moving on now to Marissa.
All right. I think I have a good one for Marissa. Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead. I have a good one.
All right. I went with Maisie Williams.
That's who I went with.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've always said, now, she would have to play older.
Yeah.
Because she's a few years younger than Marissa. But
From Game of Thrones.
From the beginning of Game of Thrones, Arya Stark, who is played by Maisie Williams, I always thought, I'm like, that's Marissa when she was a kid. That's Marissa when she was a teenager. So I'm 100% on board with that, Steve.
All right. Beth, good.
I went with Jennifer Goodwin.
Who's Jennifer Goodwin?
That's a good one. Yeah, she was in
Goodwin's a good one.
Big Love, and you'd recognize her, Preston. She's been
Snow White and Once Upon
a Time.
He's just not that into you.
Yeah. Okay.
She has a very cherubic, very cute face.
Yeah, I could see that. All right, Nick.
I also went with Maisie Williams.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was the easiest, the go-to.
Oh, and Maisie I also Williams? Had Anson Williams.
Potsy. Wow. Marissa, who did you cast as yourself?
Well, I wish I have watched Game of Thrones because I don't know what Maisie Williams is like as an actress at all. The looks are good. I went with Jennifer Goodwin or Lacey Charbet.
Lacey Chabert.
Wow, okay.
Ooh.
All right.
Her left boob could be you.
I just want a bigger boobs. No, I've definitely gotten Jennifer Goodwin a lot over the years, especially when she was in He's Just Not That Into You.
Okay.
So I always felt like synergy with her.
Did you guys cast Nick Murphy?
Yes, I did not.
I'm very proud of this
Me
one.
Too. Right.
Do you want to go first?
Well, hang on. Let's go at the same time.
Okay.
You ready?
3, 2, 1.
Seth Rogen.
No. Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went with Nick Frost.
Nick Frost is a good choice. Yeah. Nick Frost. Yeah. Nick Frost maybe a bit more than Seth Rogen case.
You think?
I think. You know who else we had in here? Who's wasn't Brian Posehn?
Brian Posehn.
He's older.
And plus, he kind of talks like this a little bit.
But so. Nick Frost is pretty damn close. There's a picture of him up there on the screen right there.
That's pretty good.
They look a lot alike.
Yeah.
Murphy and Nick Frost.
And Nick Murphy likes Nick Frost an awful lot, too. But he was in Shaun of the Dead and The World's End and a whole bunch of stuff. Pirate Radio. Anybody else?
Did I not cast him?
Okay. No, that's a good
one. Marissa, did you cast him? Wait, Nick Murphy. Hey, Nick.
Oh, hey.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I like Nick Frost. That's a good one. Uh-huh. I was assuming Jonah Hill. That's usually one I get all the time.
Jonah Hill, no.
A lady stopped me in the airport and was like, are you famous? Are you like an entertainer? I was like, well, I do
porn,
internet stuff. Yeah. She's like, are you him? I was like, no, I'm not who you think I am, lady.
Yeah.
Murph, have you cast everybody too? Or
kind of, yeah. I like the Chris O'Dowd for Nick. That's really good. Preston, I like David Hayter as you.
David Hayter?
Right, isn't that his name?
Harbor.
Oh, David Harbor. Okay.
Sorry. Right. Yeah. Steve, I think Bruce Willis, like, now would be pretty good.
All right. I'll take it, man. Yeah, right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Instead of the guy up at Jack Frost.
We had Casey, Jack Black for Casey.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Kathy, the Eva Mendes, Jessica Alba would be a good one, too.
Yeah.
Okay. There's an actress on that show, Good Girls, Marissa. She was on Arrested Development, too. I forget her name, but she would be good for you if you guys could bring up a picture of her.
Okay. Do you want to jump in here? And
how about Vicky from Small Wonder?
Sure. All right, come on in here. Well, I'm coming in. All right, so the next one I have, we're casting MMR the movie, by the way. Do this at work with your fellow coworkers. And moving on outside, outside of the morning show, even though he is a part of our show as well, Chuck D'Amico.
I didn't go that far. I didn't do it.
I put down, because Chuck is just, he's like an every guy. He's great. He's super fun and sarcastic.
Hello, everyone.
There he is. You know who I have as you, Chuck?
Did you go with Cameron Manheim?
I didn't go with Cameron. Here, we'll have Chuck come around. And by the way, we're getting into Bizarre File time, but I cast the whole staff.
Me too.
But for Chuck D'Amico, I think he doesn't necessarily look like you, but I think he could pull you off, and that's Mark Ruffalo.
I like that.
Good. Yeah.
I got one for Chuck that I'm pretty proud of.
Go ahead.
I think you're a fan of his as well, Chuck. Michael Keaton.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that
would actually work.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I love that.
He loves Michael Keaton.
Yeah, and he does not look like you. It's not a facial thing, but he loves radio. He's been in a radio movie, and Michael Keaton's just a great actor, and I think he could get your persona really well.
And Chuck was Batman for a brief amount of time, so that's kind of cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was.
Casey.
I went with Adam Scott. I think that's a great casting for Chuck.
Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, who is
that? Yeah. You know him from, he was
punch
also
me
on
in the face.
Yeah, Parks and Rec. Yeah. He was also, yeah.
All right, Parks and Rec, right. He's a handsome guy. He can be very sarcastic.
That's good, Casey.
I think it's a good one.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Marissa,
you.
did you have anybody for Chuck?
I didn't.
Okay, all right. That's all right. All right.
I gave Tina Fey for Marissa, by the way.
That's good, too. Who would you cast as yourself?
I used to get Matthew Perry a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see you more as a Courtney Cox.
Either that or Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's who I guess.
Moving on, we'll move up in the day parts here on MMR is Pierre Robert.
All right.
And I had a difficult time casting Pierre.
I had two for him.
And I eventually had to cave and go with somebody who doesn't have long hair
look
or
like
beard.
Him, right.
And just who could play Pierre. Who do you want to start seeing?
I jokingly initially said Idris Elba.
Right.
But then my serious one is Peter Dinklage.
No.
I couldn't come up with one.
I have. Try this on. Imagine the guy grows his hair out long or wears a wig and grows a beard. But I like, age-wise, I don't know why, Dennis Quaid.
Okay.
I said to play Pierre Robert. I tried to find somebody in that
I
age
like
range.
That.
Do you know who did sort of, Timothy Oliphant. With longer hair.
Wait, what do I know him from? I know the name.
He was in The Office.
Justified?
Justified. You know who he is.
Yeah.
He's in Santa Clarita Diet or whatever.
Yeah, he was in This Is Where I Leave You as well. He's a good guy. Okay,
yeah.
I like that.
I think he could pull off a passionate music DJ dude-ish.
I had initially, when for some reason, I always think of Cheech and Chong when I think of Pierre Robert. So I had gone like Tommy Chong.
Yeah.
But then I said, no, I'm going to Hollywood this thing. Jeff Bridges.
I thought about that, too. I thought he was a little too old, but he's got a gravelly voice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He could maybe do it. What about you, Nick?
So I went a little retro with this actor, and it's this actor from about 10 years ago, 15 years ago when he was in his prime. But I think it's because he could pull it off. Johnny Depp.
Pierre Robert.
Yeah. And it's Johnny Depp sort of pulling off the Pirates of the Caribbean, but doing that in a Pierre Robert vein. I think Johnny Depp can be chameleon-like. And
I can see that. All right, Kath?
I didn't have anybody for Pierre.
Okay. Right. Marissa, do you have somebody for Pierre?
Just like Nick, I went for the chameleon, the understated character actor, and I said Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Brad Pitt for Pierre?
Wow.
That is, he's going to love the F out of you.
Yes, he would. Wow.
All right.
Anybody else, or we move on?
Pierre is tough. I mean, it'd be interesting to see, like a slimmed-up Nick Offerman, because he got that deep voice.
Yeah.
Really good. Kind of pull it off with longer hair.
All right.
That'd be interesting.
Okay.
Or Megan Mullally, his wife. Nick Offerman's wife.
Combine the two, yeah.
I have a guy, but he would be too busy playing Weston. And that's, can I say that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, Sam Elliott.
Wow.
Sam Elliott, third leg of the stool, all hanging fruit.
All right, and
barn
then,
door.
Then you have Jackson.
Cigars.
Then you have Jackson.
I think I got to this pretty quick.
I have two that I put on the list. One of them, just because he looks like him, and we've had him by here, the host of Cash Cab, Ben Burnley.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But if I wanted to go with, but he's not necessarily an actor.
No.
But he looks a lot like Jackson. I have Liev Schreiber.
Ooh,
as Jackson.
That's a good one.
He's got a great voice.
Yeah.
He's a you know, fit, good-looking guy like Jackson. I thought he might fit that bill, Steve.
I went with Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
I couldn't think of that guy's name.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of it, and that's on my list.
All right. Not who I my Statham's on your list.
Your Statham is on my list.
With the best things in life.
What do you think?
I went Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu as well.
Yeah. And he is technically an actor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He was on News Radio for years.
Yeah. Kath.
I went with The Rock.
The Rock. Dear God. I mean, the dude's in great shape.
I really love Jackson.
Okay, guys.
Jeez. The Rock.
All right.
Nick, I went with Bruno Sammartino.
No. I went with, and I think it's because he could pull off the American accent and do a really good job portraying Jackson. I went with Daniel Craig. I think that they look a little bit like one another, and Daniel Craig is a great actor and has a good voice as well, so I figured he could do that role.
All right, Marissa, who would you put in the role of Jackson?
Oh, I don't love this one, my choice, but I went with Woody Harrelson.
No, that's actually, I mean, he's a great actor.
It's not bad, yeah.
And he can get in shape, seen him that way before. You guys want to weigh in on Jackson, or are you good?
An idea for Jackson was the guy who played the original Dario Naharra in Game of Thrones. He was like the new transporter.
Oh!
That guy would be pretty good.
The new transporter is good. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Was he
the bad guy in Deadpool?
In Deadpool. Yeah. He played Ajax.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's good.
Which led me to think the guy who plays new Dario Naharra, good Pierre Robert.
Okay. Yeah. Because he does have long hair and the beard and everything. So that's not bad. Yeah. All right. I don't know the actor's name.
I don't either.
Ed Skrein is the first
Cameron
guy.
Cameron Manheim.
The first guy. Yeah.
Ed Skrein is the guy from Transporter and Deadpool. I think that's the guy you're talking about.
Yes. All right, how about Jackie Bamham? I'll bet we all have the same answer.
I think we can, probably.
You guys want to go at the same time?
All right, who do you say you have?
You want me to say it or what?
Go all ahead. Of us.
All right, one, two, three.
Adrian Brody.
Yeah. Well, that's hilarious.
No one else could play Jackie but Adrian Brody physically. And if you ever saw the movie, see if you can find in the other room a picture of him in Summer of Sam.
Yes. Yeah, well, he's the punk rocker.
He's the punk rocker. He's got all that stuff on. And I mean, it's Jackie Bam Bam to a T. That's so funny.
That was awesome.
All of us.
I mean, at first I was like, oh, Nikki Sixx. Maybe.
Hey, you know you left close. Out, though? You left out Sarah.
Okay, Sarah Parker.
I didn't think about
that. I chose Dita Von Teese.
Yeah. Wow. Perfect.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine's
he's obviously
more
got the fair skin and the dark hair. More perfect, Casey?
Kat Dennings.
Okay, maybe.
Younger, with like Sarah is.
Okay. I like Dita Von Teese. All right. Marissa, did you have Sarah? Hold on a second, yeah.
Maybe Kat Von D.
Kat Von D as
cover
well.
Up all the tattoos.
Okay, all right. How about I'm really happy with who I cast for Brent Porsche.
All right,
actually,
I have a good one.
Doug, go ahead. Who do you have?
Zach Wilde.
Okay.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah. All right.
Who did you pick?
I dug in. He's a guy we've had here in the studio before. Put some long hair on him, Wyatt Russell.
Yeah, that's good press.
Wyatt Russell, who is Kate Hudson's sister.
Yeah,
and in
brother.
This is
brother.
No,
yeah.
No, they had it. They worked it out in California.
Yeah. No, he was in This Is 40. He plays one of the hockey players that's hitting on Leslie Mann. And he's been in a few things since then, but I think he would be Brent's a really good looking guy. He's got that same smile. Put some hair on him, and you got Brent Porsche right there.
I dug deep for this one, and it's an actor you may not know, but his name is Rory Cochrane, and he plays kind of the stoner in Dazed and Confused. He's also in Argo. And for whatever reason, there's something about Rory that reminds me of Brent. I'll pull up a picture of him and see if you can recognize him. Casey, you'll remember him from Dazed and Confused.
And he played Slater in Days
Confused.
Oh, I know
who he is.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Eh, maybe.
So I went with Jason Mewes.
Jason Mewes?
Okay. Yeah.
For okay, maybe.
Yeah. This was the one I think I had the hardest time with.
Okay.
Was, because I was going kind of like what you were doing.
Zach Wilde?
Like non-actors.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know.
You know who we left out and I couldn't cast was Pancake.
Oh, I got that easily.
Okay,
who Michael you got? Cera.
Michael Cera.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
If he got rid of the curly straightener, shaved his head down.
Mm-hmm. Put a hat on.
put a hat on
yep.
And a jersey, and you got Pancake. That's not bad.
I went with the Mountain.
Magnus for Magnus. Well, I forgot his name. Right. Thornson.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
No, I think okay. that Michael Cera is a good choice.
I like Michael Cera. The one who got me started on this whole idea to do this was for Kevin Gunn.
Yeah.
And Kevin's worked here for a long, long time. And I don't know why. He doesn't necessarily fully physically embody him, but he's kind of he's shorter in stature. And I just think he would play a good Kevin Gunn is Stanley Tucci, who's a great actor. Yeah. I love Stanley Tucci.
Hmm.
But if you put some hair on him, and I think he could play a good Kevin Gunn.
Yeah, I think I have a good Kevin Gunn. He would take this as a super compliment. But Aaron Sorkin would
be. Oh, of course. Yeah, he loves Aaron Sorkin. And then who had a Bill Weston?
I had Bill.
Okay, Kathy.
So I went just to capture the awkward moments every time Bill walks into a room or has a meeting. I went with Steve Carell.
The second you said awkward, I'm like, okay, yeah.
This is my posthumous one, Ted Knight.
Oh, okay.
Ted Knight.
Judge Smales from Caddyshack. Mr. Scholarship winner.
He definitely has the voice, the vocal delivery.
And the silver hair.
Yeah, okay. Steve?
I went with Mario Lopez. I don't know why. I see Bill as very Slaterish.
I went with John Hurley. John O'Hurley.
Oh, okay.
John
O'Hurley. That's not bad. I gave Bill a big compliment, and I went with Richard Gere.
No, don't do it. Cross that off right now.
I went with Richard Gere.
When Kathy's spending alone time in the bubble bath, she doesn't want Bill popping her mind.
Marissa?
She's got her Harlequin romance ready to go.
Marissa?
I went Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott? Okay. Yeah. Chuck had mentioned that earlier.
Because I think Graham Nash should play Joe Bell.
Wait, you think Graham Nash should play who?
Joe Bell.
Wow. I thought you said Joe Boo.
I didn't even think of Joe Bell. Wow, that's an interesting.
It's time to have a music meeting.
Joe Bell is our general manager.
Why don't you file that under who gives a damn? Heard something funny on the David Duke podcast.
All right, so I have one.
It was a misstatement that Bill made the other day.
I decided to throw in some of our promotion staff, people that may not, know, just listen on air, don't know these people. But there was Eric Simon and Todd DeFeo, and I couldn't come up with anybody for Eric Simon.
Oh, I have
Eric.
All right,
too.
Who?
Well, I said Ben Affleck.
What?
Look-wise.
What?
Yeah.
Eric Simon?
Yeah.
There's an actor.
The right actor?
Wait. Ben Affleck?
Yeah, like...
Married to Jennifer Garner.
Yes,
played Batman.
Ben Affleck, yes.
Wow.
I would go with Casey Affleck before Ben Affleck.
There's an actor that looks exactly like Eric. It's Peter Krause.
What's he been on?
He was on 6 Feet Under. You'll recognize him. He was on... There was a knockoff on SportsCenter.
Peter Krause.
Yeah,
he was in... he's in that new 911 show, Chuck.
Yes.
He does look a lot like Eric.
Sports Night, I think that's
right.
Called. Yeah,
that's right.
Which was an Aaron Sorkin show, by the way, Nick Murphy.
Okay. Yeah. All right, and then I actually did find somebody for Todd DeFeo. There's an actor named Eddie Marzin. In Sherlock Holmes, he plays the chief of police. In Deadpool 2, he runs the mutant, the place where they... keep the mutants keep them under control.
Yeah. See, that's way off.
I was much different. Did you have somebody, Case?
Yeah, Mahershala Ali, I thought.
I had
the shaved head, yes.
Yeah. I had Henry Cavill.
Okay. Oh.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, all right. I thought this would be a fun little character study of sorts.
It was fun.
For not only us to play around with, but for you to go through as you're headed into work today, kind of get the mind thinking, who would play, that person that works next to me, or who would play your boss, and so on and so forth. And if you have a fun environment at work, and you guys might kick something around like this where people wouldn't get offended or pissed off.
No, but I think you've killed Kathy's fantasy now.
Oh, no, for Bill? I won't. That is not.
I'm the American Gigolo. I'm the American Gigolo.
All right. So anyhow, well, thank you guys for playing along. I appreciate it. MMR the movie. Maybe someday it will come to pass.
Just real quick before you go, somebody suggested for me, Gary Busey.
There were a lot of suggestions coming up. I don't know if we'll be able to post something on social media about it. Maybe get your take on it all. But MMR the movie. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. And we do have bizarre file stories that are on the way. Make sure that you stay with us.
We're also coming back with brand new Black Keys.
Uh-huh. That's next. Brand new when we return.
Daylight savings time this weekend means we lose an hour springing forward.
Let me sleep for the love of God!
And that means we have to cram more of everything that rocks to make up for lost time. We're doing just that with a Block Party Weekend, chock full of your favorite bands and opportunities to fill in the block. Drop a dime or shoot us a text with the perfect song.
Operators are standing by.
Really? They are.
Listen for the ringing signal.
It's a Block Party Weekend.
Sponsored by Hyundai City. Shop the March Mayhem deals at HyundaiCity.com.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I apologize. It is almost 8:20, and we haven't even gotten to the bizarre file. We were casting MMR the movie and took a long time with it. I know. We got to get to it. So I'll keep this short, but I got some good stories for you.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else? This is a wild story. German police suspect a landscape gardener is responsible for killing one man and injuring two other people from beyond the grave.
From beyond the grave, he did it?
He's dead. Bernard Graumann is his name. 59 years old, was found dead from unknown causes at his home in Western Germany on Friday. Earlier that day, a 64-year-old doctor was killed by an explosion that appeared to come from a booby trap laid outside of his practice.
I heard about this lunatic.
The doctor, who had not yet been named, is thought to have triggered the explosive when he bent down to pick it up. 2 days later, a mother and daughter were injured when a log that appeared to have been tampered with exploded in a wood-burning stove less than 6 miles away. The younger woman remains in the hospital. Her condition is not thought to be critical. And police have linked both cases to Graumann, who is said to have had a bad relationship with the victims, having been involved in disputes with them in the past.
So he placed booby traps.
And I'm guessing maybe he took his own life, and that's how he was able to, you know, have this stuff set up. Because why would it all of a sudden happen now, right after
exactly,
he died?
Exactly, yeah.
So,
but insane.
There's no word on that yet. The gardener's death is currently under investigation pending the results of an autopsy. When officers searched Grauman's home, they discovered gunpowder and other items subjected to the weapons law and the Explosives Act. And police also took the unusual step of warning other members of the public who may previously have fallen out with this guy, whether in a personal or business capacity, to be on their guard. The police cannot rule, they said, out that prior to his death, the deceased had made preparations that could endanger other people's life and limbs. That is.
Could you imagine if you had like gotten into a verbal altercation with him or something at some point?
Yeah.
You had to be turning around constantly. You wouldn't pick up anything.
No, exactly. A Florida man's plans to bring a military rocket-propelled grenade launcher back home were shot down after security screeners at a Pennsylvania airport spotted the non-functioning weapon in his checked bag.
They wouldn't let him take a rocket launcher on the flight?
A rocket as a carry-on, Steve. The Transportation Security Administration says...
Isn't that right next to 3 ounces of shampoo?
The unassembled parts of the launcher and a replica grenade were found on Monday when an alarm went off as the bag passed through security equipment at Lehigh Valley International Airport in Allentown.
Turn that rocket launcher on, if you wouldn't mind.
I mean, it's a little ridiculous that they even have to do this, but I'm fairly certain that, like, when you're approaching, like, the TSA people, that there are pictures of things that you can't bring on. I want to say there's, like, a grenade on there or something
There's obviously stuff that indicates explosive devices, firearms. Rocket launcher falls right within that realm. Yeah.
The man was stopped by police and told officials that he could bring the non-functioning launcher, or he couldn't bring the lawn Or no, I'm sorry. He could bring it on as a checked bag if he wanted to. You just can't carry it on.
Right.
The items are confiscated. He was able to catch his flight to Orlando. No realistic or replica weapons of a military nature are allowed onto airplanes. A former Southwest Florida doctor is facing some serious charges. Employees' suspicions helped put 67-year-old William Robert Berkey behind bars on Monday. He had entered a CVS pharmacy store where he asked for help in uploading pictures from his phone to a photo kiosk. The report says the employee described Berkey as nervous and did not want the attendant to look at his phone and photographs. He printed and purchased the pictures along with cocoa butter and personal lubricant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the employee reported the incident and the police looked into it. He returned again a few days later for more prints and detectives confirmed the image were prepubescent female children. He was printing up child porn at CVS. Right.
So, again, thank God he's a lunatic.
Yep.
And thank God he was stupid enough to do this. But the amount of money, I mean, I'm not trying to give, you know, consumer tips to pedophiles, but you could have gotten a printer. You know what? Again, let them keep doing it because they'll get caught. Yeah. Why correct it?
They found more pictures at his home, by the way. One last story. This is really weird. You guys may have seen this. California Santa Anita Racetrack has canceled races indefinitely to examine the track's dirt surface after 21 horses have died in the last 2 months. Yeah. And the most recent death, a 4-year-old horse, was euthanized Tuesday after getting injured during training. 7 of the deaths took place during races on the dirt track, 5 on the turf course, and 9 came during training on dirt. 2 major races have been scheduled for Santa Anita this weekend, including one for 3-year-old Kentucky Derby hopefuls. But
the chief
operating officer has canceled them.
Any speculation as to what's causing this? Anything?
No. No, they've tested the soil. They don't know what's going on, so they're trying to figure out. But that's an anomalous amount of horses to die in 2 months. And that is what I have in the B-File for you. We're going to take a break. We should probably come right back, Case, don't you think so? We will return in just a moment, my friends. Make sure that you stay near. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Did you guys know, and Nick brought me up to speed on this, but I had no idea that they have found dinosaur fossils at Valley Forge National Park?
When Nick mentioned it was the first time I'd heard about this. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is during the Revolutionary War,
yes,
dinosaurs were engaging in the fighting.
Well, there wasn't any fighting, but
George Washington rode a T-Rex.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Wow, that's big.
That's what you're saying.
I would think more like Velociraptor or something like that.
He's the general. Yeah, yes. You're not going to put him on a Velociraptor at 6 feet, 6 and a half.
Crazy?
Yeah. And Washington himself is about 6 feet, 3 inches tall.
The cavalry were on the Velociraptor.
But it paints a whole new picture of, the severity of what they went through.
Right, it does. I mean, God, they had to deal with cold for crying out loud.
Well, not only were they themselves hungry for food, but when you're feeding your T-Rex, it's not like, you know. The
resources are scarce in the wintertime for feeding.
You have to prepare the meat, salt it so it can be stored.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. All kinds of issues. Yeah.
And then occasionally your T-Rexes will eat your horses.
Yeah. Well, you got to feed them, man. Yeah. You don't want that happening.
That's it. That's it.
T-Rex likes to hunt.
What I didn't know until last year or something like that.
Just like in
that,
the Revolutionary War.
I didn't know that Valley Forge was not a battleground. I didn't know
it
that
wasn't.
That was
no.
That it was just a camp.
But it was, and obviously, it's well known for the austerity of the winters that the soldiers spent there.
They got trapped in a really bad one.
Well, they were surrounded by dinosaurs. And
get out.
We can't move.
And that was the tragedy of that particular, of that location, because a lot of people lost their lives. Froze to death. Horrible, horrible, painful deaths. But anyhow, yes, they found fossils. Now, they are not bones and so forth, which is
they're wallets.
No, they're not wallets. Initially, that's what I thought when you told me, Nick, but they're called trace fossils.
And they're actually, it's funny because the stones themselves weren't in Valley Forge National Park. Did you read that part of the article?
No.
They were bought in a quarry nearby and brought into the park a few years ago.
Oh, wow. Oh.
So they're part of a pathway, and then this person who was walking by, who happens to be a fossil expert, saw them. And the park itself is not disclosing exactly where they are.
That's correct.
Because they don't want it to be overrun
If I'm reading you correctly, Our own Revolutionary Army forces kept all of their dinosaurs hidden
in a quarry
from the British in a quarry. Yeah.
They couldn't escape. You know what I mean?
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, we won the
brilliant.
War.
Brilliant. Yeah. Let's call a spade here. We won.
I didn't see the dinosaurs on the British side at all.
Yeah.
You know?
No. Well, no. Yet. They mocked us.
Right.
Oh, they're dinosaurs.
Somewhere, somebody has a conspiracy theory that a battle that never existed at Valley Forge was won by the secret weapon of dinosaurs.
Today we shall go into battle.
Secret weapon.
But our dinosaurs are so hungry, they stumble along with Civil War music.
I don't.
Civil we War don't have Revolutionary War music.
Never occurred. Revolutionary War battle that never occurred involving a general and his dinosaurs.
Oh, here we go. Wait a minute,
no.
Casey.
Dude, that's Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, it's called Drum and Fife. Drum and Fife by Smashing Pumpkins.
From a band that didn't occur.
That ought to do it. Yeah, yeah, here's our Revolutionary War music.
My dearest wife, I'm here listening to Smashing Pumpkins. Oh, fortunately, my Brontosaurus has an MP3 player.
This has become the most bizarre scenario ever created.
It's like one of those fantasy shows you'd watch Sid Marty Croft would have on Saturday morning.
Wow.
But the fact remains, the Americans won the war.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
So mock our dinosaurs if you want.
So, yeah, Nick, yeah, these slabs were purchased in 2011 from a nearby commercial quarry, and they appear indistinguishable. These are just bumps in the sandstone rock. The largest
it's
is
just
about
a freaking bump.
9 inches. About 9 inches long. So hikers, joggers, and dog walkers, they use a trail, and they are oblivious to what's right there as they're walking along.
You mean to tell me that bump is a dinosaur?
But the march drew the attention of a guy named Tom Stack, and he is a volunteer park ambassador. He started working there in 2017, and he has a background in geology and paleontology and recognized these, and they are approximately 210 million years old.
Wow.
They're known as argillite. The rocks are as being similar in age and type to fossil-bearing rocks used to construct a 1930s-era bridge on the Gettysburg battlefield about 100 miles away. most of the tracks left in what were once muddy flats consisted of three-toed foot impressions from the early days of dinosaurs, although Stack also found footprints from a non-dinosaur reptile, a relative of the modern-day crocodile as well.
Okay, so when Paul Revere rode his velociraptor through town.
Yeah. That's Boston, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Two if by sea.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think that the dinosaur that he rode was also stored locally at this quarry? Because I would have to imagine to keep the Brits from stealing our dinosaurs, you would have to have something, A, that's
right,
that could contain the dinosaurs, and the quarry would be able to do that, but B, would it also be hidden from... I don't, you know, it's not like they're all over the place.
The only thing I know is they would have given him, Paul Revere, the fastest dinosaur
that
was available because he had to get the word out immediately.
And it'd be a, you know, the noise they make?
Yeah. By the way, they said that, there you go, thank you, that the largest of the dinosaurs...
Here comes General Washington.
The largest of the dinosaurs would have been a bipedal theropod that was about 6 to 9 feet long and 4 to 6 feet high.
That hardly seems suitable for a general.
But that was, you know, maybe there's one they haven't found yet. There are also distinctive patterns in the rock throughout the to be caused by. What?
I know during the
thought to be caused by the cracking of dried mud and from the ripples of a lake near a river.
There was a battle that took place, and this is actual historical fact, in Germantown. In fact, right off of Germantown Avenue. And the historians say that during that battle, which was there was a building there where there was a British battalion, unbeknownst to Washington, they had a lot more troops in there than Washington knew. Mm. He was riding a stegosaurus.
See?
Yeah.
Those things aren't very fast. Are they the ones with the...
the big plated... That's a big pile of ass.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, you needed
I'm thinking of Triceratops.
No, you're right. That is Triceratops. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But they were vegetarians, so you needed to be safe. You needed to make sure that whatever you're riding wasn't going to
eat you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a built-in saddle. You know, you get to have the hole on the horns. Plates.
Fortunately, we were an agrarian society and able to feed those Triceratops. Right.
Martha Washington grew weed.
So. My dearest husband, I shall send you fruit and vegetables to feed your triceratops. I hope the battle goes well for you.
I like this text. It says, you guys make history come alive.
So the National Park Service requests...
Look, there it is. There's an actual artist illustration.
Oh, my God. This exists.
No, the Kool-Aid Man is in this picture.
This already existed. Our interns just found it. It's George Washington riding a triceratops.
Yeah, it's nice to see Steve Irwin in that.
Osama Bin Laden, wait, this isn't historically
RoboCop. No, internet. So the National Park Service requested the exact location of the rocks not be publicized, like Nick had said, to help protect them from being damaged or removed. Officials said visitors will be told about the rocks and how park resources are protected, but not where to find them. And the park, it's 5 square miles, but it has about 30 miles of trail in it. So you may not ever know exactly where this is.
Right.
The dinosaur footprints that Stack found are not unique or even particularly rare.
Or interesting.
And don't add to the body of scientific knowledge about the creatures. They're just, they're just kind of there.
Yeah.
They date from later in the Triassic period and before the Jurassic era.
There was that active dig going on. I think it was behind like a Lowe's or a Home Depot in South Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's yielding a lot of artifacts, correct?
Yeah, Dr. Kenneth Lacavara. We've had him on the show a couple of times, and he's great, and he's really knowledgeable, and he was leading one of those digs over in South Jersey.
Did he say he found, like, the source of creation or something big like that?
Yeah, I mean, yes. They
found the Tesseract.
Yes.
Finally. That thing has caused so much
unbelievable.
By the way, this text says, guys, my 7-year-old is correcting everything you're saying about dinos right now.
Nerd.
Smart kid. Wow. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
So more than, and I did not know this, more than 270 National Park Service properties contain some sort of paleontological resource, from Dinosaur National Monument in Colorado and Utah to the fossils scattered in rock used to build the Lincoln Memorial and Capitol Reflecting Pool in Washington, D.C.
Aren't you fascinated by that stuff? And in this area, what kind of dinosaur activity occurred in this area? I know it's a long time ago, but to stand in the area where, you know, the whole Walking with Dinosaur series was phenomenal, where they took different parts of the world and showed what they were like during the different periods.
Yeah.
It puts it in a time scope that just is almost incomprehensible.
Rochelle's grandfather was a mayor of this town called Arnold, Missouri, and he had helped, they had discovered these mastodon remains.
Yes.
And he had helped facilitate and create a mastodon park to make sure that all that stuff is preserved.
They could play there.
They could all, where you can bring your mastodon.
They can run around. You got to leash them, though.
They got to sniff each other out first. No, but they had found these mastodon bones, and so they created a park where all that would be protected, and you could go see the fossils and things, which is kind of interesting because I'm like, mastodons in Missouri? Are you,
what the? They'll make a decaffeinated coffee.
Yep. So I've been telling you guys about this book I've read called Short History of Nearly Everything, and they discovered these dinosaur bones in South Jersey in the late 1700s, early 1800s, but they didn't know that they were dinosaur bones because there hadn't been any real discoveries of what dinosaurs were at this point. So they just found these massive bones in this marsh. Steve, they shipped them to the University of Pennsylvania and the museum, and they sat there untouched and undiscovered for 50 years. And then 50 years later, somebody finally put together that it was a thigh bone from a dinosaur. But this was a discovery made right in our area that sat in a warehouse in the University of Pennsylvania for nearly half a decade or half a century, because people didn't know what it was. And I think about that type of stuff, like what's out there right now
that's sitting in a Lowe's parking lot. If you go to our Museum of Natural History, which is fascinating, we got to get a little tour behind the scenes where they store a lot of this stuff. And there are things that they're just sitting there waiting to be researched that could yield incredible information.
Hey, what you were telling me last night about they have a replica at the Smithsonian?
Well, I think it's the Museum of Natural History in New York. Nick, if you can look it up, it's a current rendering of what they've, with all of the information they've been gleaning over the years, what they believe the most current representation of what T-Rex looked like. And it appears to have, like, fur on its head, like a bristly hair.
It was like a crew cut.
Yeah, it almost looked like a crew cut.
Really? When you
T-Rex looked like Drew Carey.
When you said that to me, the first thing that popped in my mind was, you know the movie Weird Science? At the end when Chet turns into the block, to that creature, he's got this little crew cut on top.
Yeah, here, look at Preston.
Immediately what I thought of.
And Steve, you're right. It's the Natural History Museum in New York.
Okay.
So that's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
That does look like Chet.
You know what I do love is T-shirts that make fun of the T-Rex's little bitty arms.
They've discovered is the arms were probably even smaller. Yeah. If you look at this rendering,
these are like nipples.
These are clamp nipples.
Yeah.
So your theory that they lost their wallet there is probably right because they couldn't pick it up out of their back pocket.
Poor T-Rex. Big mouth and little arms.
But what a mouth. But did you have any idea there was this level of hair of this?
No, it's kind of interesting.
Like elephant hair.
It looks like the patch on Casey's lower back.
Yeah.
It's just kind of wiry and scattered.
There for no reason.
So very, very interesting. If you ever do travel out west and go to some of these national parks and so on, I remember when we were in like New Mexico and Arizona, they've got fossils
stuff
all over the place.
There are active digs all the time. And there's one area in particular in Arizona where you can go, you pay, and you basically become an active member of the the team, the dig team. You have to obviously follow their rules and what they want you to do as far as preserving things, but it's kind of cool.
By the way, did you see this couple on 6ABC had the story not that long ago, and I think they lived in Fishtown. And for some reason or another, they had a small plot of a yard. You know, you don't have much land in the city. But they were, I don't know why they were digging in the yard, and they found like a bottle or something like that. Turns out they had a privy
on the
property.
Yeah.
And they started digging it up, and they're finding all kinds of material in there that is historical.
It a not your average listener that we had in here?
Yes.
About excavations in the city?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
And in fact, like within when they started doing the dig for the Comcast building, which is now almost complete, the second one, they were checking out stuff in there. Then the amazing stuff that they're finding.
Yeah. There's a lot of it buried around here. I have another, what, Nick?
The T-shirt that says "Worst Drummer Ever" and it's just a T-Rex sitting behind the drum set, looking at the sad look on his face.
I love those.
That not your average listener was Joe Bonaventura, and he digs into privy pits.
Okay, yeah,
you can learn a lot about fossilized poop.
Yeah, there's a lot to be learned.
That's why I keep saving mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Here's another story germane to our area
and Tito,
as you say. So there's a Joe's Steaks has created a special cheese steak. And I do not approve, but
what violation has it
instead of
committed
a roll? They are using pound cake.
Are they using Stock's pound cakes?
Yes.
Okay.
Stock's Bakery pound cake. Silly. So that's why it's is that the one we had in here that weighs like 15 pounds?
It is like
so yummy.
The most famous pound cake in all of Philadelphia. And, you know, a lot of delis in the area will buy them. And actually, they use them as fundraisers as well.
Yeah.
I believe.
And listen, I'm not beating up on Joe's. I just don't think it would taste well.
I think you have. We had that pound cake. It is sensational. Mm. I think you subvert the taste of that pound cake, and it could be a totally fine, in fact, great cheesesteak, but I don't think you're robbing from both.
Yeah. I also, just judging by the picture that I saw, I thought the slabs of the pound cake were too thick for the sandwich because
they're really thick.
Really, really, really thick.
It's like Valley Forge dinosaur thick.
Somebody pointed out that the T-Rex would actually have to have hair in order to survive the cold winters at
Valley Forge. Yeah. Okay. That's why quite often you've seen those oil paintings of General Washington curled up with his T-Rex.
Right, yeah.
And nature thought of everything.
Yeah.
My dearest wife.
I didn't even know that.
I am able to derive warmth from the fur on my T-Rex. We curl often at night, and I describe you in my thoughts. And he purrs. By the way, T-Rex purrs.
Okay.
Life finds a way.
You can get the pound cake cheesesteak every Tuesday in March. And I don't know what all comes on it, but it's
when
cheesesteak meat. Yeah. You get steak and cheese, and I don't think that goes with pound cake.
During the Civil War.
Yes.
During the Gettysburg Address, when Lincoln climbed the top of the Allosaurus.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, they were still around during the Civil War? Yeah. I thought they were extinct by the time we got to the
Civil War. That's a whole new... They were, obviously, evolution was taking place.
Sure.
Civil War dinosaurs.
Yeah, I think the pterodactyls were gone by then.
Absolutely. Air battle is out of the question. Right. Yeah.
Real quick, though. Yeah. If you were to take a couple of different Philadelphia food staples and put them together, what would make the most sense? Like a soft pretzel rolled cheesesteak?
Pretzeled bread? Yeah. Like Philadelphia Pretzel Company has done sandwich riffs
that are terrific.
Yeah. Don't you love the pretzel bread for rolls? They're just
sure. Yeah.
Wonderful taste.
The Philadelphia Chi-Chi.
So you got
that's what could be the name.
Yeah. So you got you have pretzels, you have cheesesteaks. What else would you throw into that?
Gum.
A tasty cake.
Tasty cakes.
Okay.
What else? I mean, Goldberg's pea juice, peanut juice. Different.
Put some pea juice on my.
Skip that. Can I get it without the pea juice?
I say pea juice.
I can't think of any other, worldly known good guy stuff.
Is the roast pork? That's not Philadelphia.
Listen, we have had roast
pork roll. A pork roll.
All right. So let's take.
How about? Scrapple.
Scrapple.
Mm-hmm. Not really Philly, more Pennsylvania, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That could be. That's germane. Oh, there we go. I gotta see that word. That's Tito to this area.
All right, Steve, here's a dessert idea for you from the text board. A soft pretzel with tasty cake icing.
If you watch the Goldbergs, you see the dad always putting pretzels in milk. That's his snack.
We used to put saltines, crunch them up in a cup and then pour milk in. Hmm. And then I ate that as a kid. My dad ate it as well.
Really? What's the taste? Is it sweet and savory?
Years later, and I'm like, well, I haven't had that ages. Let me try that again.
Oh my God, it's disgusting. Right? But you see him, he's crunching up pretzels and putting it in milk.
That's another conversation. Something you loved as a kid, some bizarre Franken food like that, and you try it now and just,
God. It's not really.
How was I thinking?
Franken food is kind of like a grandma treat, but Steve makes a joke about it sometimes, ambrosia.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was the greatest thing. That was the best dessert ever. And same thing, I tried it years later. I was like, what is this?
I wonder
this?
If I'd still like a similar to ambrosia is Watergate salad. You ever had that?
No.
Uh-uh. It's green.
It tastes wonderful.
It's lovely.
So good, you'll leave office.
Yeah, Watergate salad is another. It's ambrosia-like, but I think it's got like a pistachio flavor.
You ever have G. Gordon Liddy pudding?
I don't like Jell-O, Kathy, so I can never do the ambrosia thing.
Did that have Jell-O in it?
Oh, what am I thinking of?
I don't know. It might have. It was
ambrosia?
Just a bunch of gross stuff.
No, ambrosia's got a lot of pineapple in it. Pineapple and
little marshmallows.
There might be coconut in there, too.
There was. There was, little shredded strips of coconut.
Do you remember the comedian Tony Fields?
No.
Okay, so she's a large woman. She was, big and bawdy, and that was her whole thing. So she had a recipe that swept the nation for ambrosia. And my neighbor, you have to come over and try the Tony Fields ambrosia. And I was like, that was her thing all the time. She was always at the, almost every time you went over there, at the door with a spoonful of this crap. Yeah. It was horrible.
Shoving it in your mouth. Case, I think you were talking about what Preston said, the Watergate salad. Did that have Jell-O in it, Preston?
No, I'm thinking of it's basically what Aunt... who do you call it? Made in Christmas Vacation.
Oh, with the cat food?
That's a Jell-O mold.
Yeah, that's a Jell-O mold.
That's just Jell-O, and you put fruit in it.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that's not ambrosia.
Yeah, no,
ambrosia is better than that.
Okay.
And by the way, there was a band called Ambrosia.
Yes, there was.
What song did they have? We love. Come on.
You're the only one I ever dreamed of.
I knew it from the start. And that's the last I seen of
Is that it?
Yeah. That's what you were singing, I think. Yeah. So,
how much I feel and biggest part of me?
How much I feel.
Oh.
Feel for you, baby. How much I feel
for you, girl.
Well, they toured.
That's it.
Yes.
They toured
Orleans did the other song I was singing, so sorry.
No, no, they toured with Alan Parsons.
Get off my back.
Bruce Hornsby and Michael McDonald.
Wow.
Huh. Ambrosia. All right.
On the Revolutionary Dinosaur Tour.
Yes.
We haven't had a break like this in a while.
No, no, no.
I'm enjoying this.
If you're a British soldier and you hear that coming.
Oh, my God.
You are running for the hills.
No, you're going back and making sure this news gets back to the king.
Right? Yeah, that's right. I wanted to point out, Preston, that several people suggested a Frankenfood for Philadelphia, which is probably fairly disgusting, but I'm intrigued by it, which is a slice of Lorenzo's wrapped around a cheesesteak.
It's called the Philly Taco. People are texting in about that. Yeah, Giuseppe, my neighbor, owns Lorenzo's, and he's going to make that. Well, I don't want to give this away. He told maybe it's a secret.
He's not going to do this.
No, it might be a menu item down the road. Okay. So I'll just let you know about
Which
that.
Which means it will. Do you have a price point on that?
No. But he told me about it. So, it takes a special person to eat one of those. But that would be... That's about right.
Like yesterday's the burger from, you know.
Yeah, Wells Fargo
Center. I call it like stunt food. Yeah. Where you, they're just, you have to try it.
Marissa?
Yeah, I've got two for you. One, a restaurant that doesn't exist anymore, but they were doing Tandy cake sliders. So they were using Tasty cake candy cakes as buns.
Oh.
Or like a cheeseburger.
Okay.
And then there's a restaurant called Craftsman's Row that does the Brotherly Love milkshake that has Hershey's chocolate, peanut butter chews, tasty cake, cupcake, and candy cake mashed in it with peanut butter and an Amish pretzel stick.
That's better.
It's massive, isn't it?
That's better.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can put vodka in it.
And you can put vodka in it. Nick, I'm very intrigued by the idea of like putting butterscotch crimpet icing on like a Philly soft pretzel.
That's great minds, Casey. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
One of those pretzel companies gives you a dip, and it's sort of like a icing type dip.
Well, Philly Pretzel Company has a ton of dips that you can do now. Yeah.
And some of them are sweet, which is kind of different if you're looking for something different.
Yeah. I love
Wait a minute.
Pretzels are fresh. They're awesome.
We have an Ambrosia tour alert. I'm going to go to Scott.
Really? What?
Scott, you're on the air.
Today.
Hey, good. What's up, man?
They're actually playing live in Disney World in 2 weeks.
Ambrosia?
No way. Ambrosia.
Do we have it in the system, Case?
We can. Disney, thanks for your call, by the way, Scott. Disney and Universal Studios will hire bands of that level.
Yeah.
They had a couple hits, and I remember I was at Universal, and like REO Speedwagon was playing that night.
REO Speedwagon? Like, yeah, sure. Check it out.
Ambrosia, sure. There it is.
Feel for you, baby.
By the way, somebody says we need to make a Revolutionary Dinosaur Tour 1976 t-shirt.
Yes.
With Ambrosia.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like a retro-style t-shirt.
Absolutely.
You know?
Can our magic people behind our graphics department get started on that, please? It's the T-Rex. Maybe T-Rex would be the headlining act, and Ambrosia could be the opening. Because T-Rex was a band, obviously. Okay. Well, anyhow, if you're headed through Valley Forge National Park, National Historical Park, I should say.
Is it the Blarney Stone?
Not the Blarney Stone. There are dinosaur prints. They are called trace fossils, but they're not.
Are they in frames or not?
No, they're not. And they're not indicating exactly
they're footprints.
Where they are, but they are indeed in and around that area. I thought it was kind of interesting. We're going
to
take a break.
We need to take a break.
We need your case. Give me some beer. I need something to give away right now. We'll take.
Where is the beer? It's
caller number 18. I'm going to set you up with Yards Brawler. Give you a case of it. You can go a few rounds of Brawler, the Philly beer that with knockout flavor. Look for it in the orange case, wherever you find fine beers, wherever they're sold, including the Beer Guys in Havertown. 215-263-WMMR, caller number 18. You're good to go. We're going to return with a good friend of ours, Brittany, from many times in our Totally Elvis calendar, and she's on TV with the show Very Cavallari. We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic from WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer, always with fast and free shipping. Visit Steven Singer Jewelers online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Don't forget, Word of the Week prize this week. Chance for you to win a golf package. I know it's kind of hard to imagine right now with still inches of snow on the ground, but we have a golf package at Killington Resort in Vermont, which I'm intrigued by. I should head out. Now, number one, I've never been skiing there before.
Yeah.
But I would love to go. I've never been to Vermont ever.
Ever?
And I hear
ever?
I hear it is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
It's wait, no, it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. No, that's Ithaca.
Oh, that's Ithaca, New York.
Ithaca
I'm sorry.
Gorgeous.
All right.
But it is beautiful. The only problem with how beautiful it is you have to leave New Hampshire to get to Vermont, and New Hampshire is gorgeous. Is absolutely
it's beautiful as well.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And you have to leave there to get to Vermont.
Yeah. So the first time
you have to leave here to get there.
Yeah, I know. But like
I'm a travel expert.
When I was driving there, we were driving through New Hampshire, and I was like, "This is." I don't know why I'm leaving here right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we're gonna.
Why am I not wearing pants?
We're gonna give that away.
No, I was wrong.
We're going to give that away tomorrow. You're wrong about what?
It was the other way around. Preston, I apologize. I misspoke.
Yeah, you have to leave Vermont
to get to New Hampshire.
That's what I thought the geography. I'm not. Ain't that smart.
You can actually leave either one of those states to get to the other one.
You could.
No,
you
know.
As per the Dinosaur Act of 1778.
I think what Casey's saying, if you're headed north.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, they're right next to each other.
Okay.
Well,
you cannot leave one to get to the other. That's absurd.
The Dinosaur Act of what?
1778. No man shall leave New Hampshire for Vermont, but you can leave Vermont for New Hampshire.
All right.
Marissa, stone cold fact.
Marissa has tried multiple times to get a hold of our guest.
So the problem is I've spoken with our guest. For some reason, phone lines are not able to dial out to her right now. So we are waiting for her.
To dial in.
To dial in.
So was that a byproduct of the near calamity we had this morning with the system going down?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Okay, we had to run and gun early this morning because the entire board crapped out.
So herein lies the conundrum. If I start talking about something and then she gets on board, then we have to stop. Oh, wait, Marissa just gave me the thumbs up. We have her now?
Kaflabin. Okay.
All right, so season two of Very Cavallari is on Sundays on E! At 10 p.m. And the new season return on March 3rd. And one of the people that's on the show is one of our calendar girls. And if you're in our calendar, you're a member of the family forever. That's the way it works. And Brittany's done multiple appearances in our calendar.
And she's a bigwig here. I watched the entire first season. I've watched the new episodes. I'm not a big reality show person, but Brittany's in it. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the show a lot.
Okay, let's get her on. Brittany Taylor, everybody.
Hey!
Hi, Brittany.
Hey, guys. Oh, my God. I feel like it's like a blast from the past.
Yes. And look at you now. You're now living in Nashville. You're working with Kristen Cavallari, right?
Yeah. Running a business. Who knew?
So the name of the business is Uncommon James. And it's a reality show based around her, Kristen Cavallari from The Hills, putting together this. It's almost like Gwyneth Paltrow has Goop, curated jewelry and lifestyle stuff. And it's, you know, it's a reality show. But listen, again, I don't watch these things, but you were on it. So I have to admit.
And Jay's on it. So, like, you, I mean, it's like kind of a dude show.
Yeah,
you
know? Jay Cutler.
Like,
right. So it is cool. So, but I mean,
We were talking about this before you were about to sign on. And so what's it like to be on a very popular reality show now on E! And have all this extra attention thrown at you?
It's a lot of pressure, actually. It's a little nutty. Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to a girl yesterday because, you know, the season starting, it's supposed to just, like, die down. But as far as, like, so your actual work is fine. So it works out because the cameras aren't there every single day, which takes a lot of, like, it takes a lot of time and effort to, like, you know, get up in the morning and look good versus just coming to work and getting stuff done. But once it shows up, you know, it's like our second holiday season. So, you know, our numbers are up like 330%, like on one brand, 2000% on another brand. So orders come in every Sunday and Monday, as soon as the season starts. So it's literally like another broom season for us. And it's insane.
So you're actually working and running this business, and it's not just the show.
Yeah, I mean, which is crazy. My aunt actually came and visited me in Nashville a couple of weeks ago, and one of them was like, "Oh my God, you have an office!" And I was like, "No, yeah, this is real life, guys. Like, it's not fake."
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, because the deal is, you can see because she invested, Kristen herself invested in this business, and it's a trendy sort of thing. She, you know, she has tons of fans who poured it over from The Hills, which she was on. So she's always, like, always kept this kind of high-profile stuff.
Yeah, so these guys, like, you know, the fish tank dudes, they really do that.
Yeah.
It's you know,
yeah.
That's really their job.
Right, right.
People are actually working at these things.
Yeah. I mean, you would be surprised about how many people come into a store and they see myself or one of the other girls, and they're like, their reaction is like, oh my God. It makes it, it's funny because it validates them, like, coming in, and then they'll buy like 12 things because they get excited. But it's hilarious that, like, you know, it is reality TV, so some things are a little like emphasized or
enhanced, sculpted, they call it.
So, like,
it's not real reality.
Some people don't know what is real and what's not. So I think it's like, okay, so let's just assume everything's fake until we see them, and then as soon as they see us, they're asking us every single question in the book, like, you know, this really happened, are you guys friends, are you and your boyfriend still together? And it's a little like, it's great, but it's also kind of nutty that people are so invested in your life, like, after seeing one season, which is great. So we just found out, like, ratings, as far as ratings go, like, our show is just behind the Kardashians, so I'm more nervous.
No, that's awesome.
I couldn't do that type of thing. We have been approached on more than one occasion to possibly, you know, do a pilot for a reality show here at MMR in our show and what it's about. And we were like, no, I don't think so. It's just we already work during the hours of the program, and then it would be more work outside.
And our most interesting stuff is on the show anyway. But I mean, what you're doing. So, and I sit there and I watch, I mean, we're all really proud of you because the company is taking off from first, and I kid you not, I've seen every second of the show, Brittany. So, the first season you had a small group, and now I think you've like tripled your staff.
Yeah. So when I started with Kristen, we literally started out of her office in her house. Like, that's not a joke. And there was only three of us. And now we have 90 employees.
90 employees.
So I went from being, essentially my job role was to babysit everybody else and make sure the job was getting done, to being the director of operations. So the growth in 1 year has been insane, personally and professionally. So
no, it's so cool to see it because you know, and then obviously you look fantastic on the show. They, you know, they have you guys wearing these incredible fashions and all this stuff. But then you have, like, this season, is it Tim McGraw is opening up a gym next to you guys?
Yeah, that's already open.
So it's already open.
It's cool. But Nashville's kind of like that, though. And I think anybody who's visited Nashville can attest to it. Like, even down Broadway, like the bars, you know, you have Jason Aldean, you have Luke Bryan, you have Blake Shelton that are all opening up, like, you know, bars or restaurants or retail stores. Like, I think Jesse James Decker just opened one too. So it's like that. It's not out of the ordinary that someone big would open something. And it's just great that the area that we're in, we decided on it, one, because it was cheap rent, because really the business came before the reality show. So
right.
when we realized we were moving, we were like, okay, well, we don't know how much it's going to happen. Like, Kristen literally has fears of people not showing up every day for, you know, as far as customers go. So we didn't get into, like, we got into an up-and-coming area where rent was a little bit better. And then now that's building. And so, you know, now Tim McGraw's next door. I think Miley Cyrus is putting in a restaurant, or she's partnering in a restaurant or something like that next to that. And then across from us is, like, a really cool jazz club. And it's, like, it's great to see. Nashville is such a, like, little big town. So it's nice to see, like...
No, it's huge. I mean, as far as...
Like, Philadelphia, like, seeing districts build.
Yeah, as far as the music industry goes, it's certainly a nexus right now. And the fact that you have it as a hot spot, it's well depicted on the show. But you're, like, all the stuff is happening around you guys. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. And then I date a guy who's directly in the country music world. So it's a fun change of life. I've definitely, like, did not expect... to follow the family trend and date musicians.
But yes, but you did.
Brittany, I'm actually coming to Nashville in May, so I want to...
I'm like, okay, it's okay to do it on the show.
So yeah, but not here yet. Oh, damn. It'll be yes.
Oh,
no. Yeah.
Oh, dang. No, yeah, definitely come. I let's hang out. That's the cool thing in Nashville. Like, there's so much stuff to do. Like, I'm sure you have plans, but, like, we'll have to take you around.
So, Britt, are you making, like, millions of dollars now?
Not that much, but I'm getting there.
You're getting there. You are poised too. Nice. I mean, if you're where you are in this company, you have an entire show that supports a product line. This is what propelled the Kardashians all there. I mean, look at freaking Kylie Jenner's a billionaire now. Mm-hmm. And that was firmly planted on the back of an already built in audience of consumers. She's got, I find her, Kristen Cavallari, to be, I was like, I was pretty standoffish about her on The Hills. But the fact is, seeing her at home with her husband, Jay, listen, I know it's not real, but it seems, she seems nice and she seems friendly with you. She seems very supportive of you. So I give her
my biggest support system for sure.
All right. So cool. And I know that they fired, I don't want to give too much away, but people do get fired. There's a lot going on the show. I enjoy it. If me, who hates reality TV shows, enjoys it, I think people should check it out as well here. So congratulations. It's awesome.
Yeah. Guys, I know. Next time I come to Philly, I'll have to stop in.
Okay, yes. Yeah, for sure. Right. And Kathy's going to come hang with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll text you.
That's too big.
All right. Cool. It's a new episode Sunday, 10 p.m. on Avery Cavallari, and it's Brittany Taylor.
Yay! Brittany Taylor.
See you, Brett.
Bye.
All right. So awesome, man. Yeah, I'm happy she's doing well.
I'm going to watch it.
I'm kidding you not. She's really entrenched in this company that is zipping along.
Somebody texted and said, is she the one with big cans that wanted to make video games?
Yes. Yeah, that's her.
That's her.
Absolutely. Yep. Hey, speaking of retail stuff, I thought this was kind of strange, interesting, but Kohl's is about to do this very unique thing. They are going to try and draw in customers by shrinking their stores and leasing out space to gyms. Their latest partner is Planet Fitness.
They've actually done this.
Yeah.
They've done a few of them, and it's working out.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, no pun intended. I should see what I did there. but it is. It is. They're again, as you said, they're shrinking their actual store of space. And so what they get is the people who are coming to work out or they see they can kill the proverbial two birds with one stone.
And not only that, but they're also going to do it with some supermarkets as well.
That seems weird.
Isn't it, though? I thought that was odd.
Yeah. I mean, texturally, it's does not make any sense whatsoever. I like Kohl's.
It's convenient.
I like Kohl's, too.
Yeah, my mom loves Kohl's, all the Kohl's cash and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But,
you save $59,000 in Kohl's cash.
Yeah.
They're doing it. They're gonna put in Planet Fitness next to 10 of its stores this year. If the experiment takes off, Kohl's could expand the partnership to more locations. They're teaming up with Planet Fitness. Michelle Gass' latest creative tactic to court the customers. Last year, they announced a pilot program with the supermarket chain Aldi. to lease out space at up to 10 stores. They have more than 1,100 locations around the country. I didn't know they had that many.
No, neither did I.
The retailer faces pressure from Amazon and rivals online, as well as growing discount chains like TJ Maxx and Marshalls.
So if you connect to something that people actually have to leave the house for, or that are more inclined to leave the house for,
yeah,
then you can tie in to them on that consumer level.
I think that's kind of the idea, Steve. Listen, you're more than likely the majority of people are going to leave to go work out, whereas just to shop online, it's, yeah, you don't have to go anywhere. But here, I'm already out. I'll just walk into Kohl's. I'll get what I need, and boom, I'm done.
You're basically looking for where they are captive. That's why I think, mm-hmm, honestly, Kohl's should actually get involved with the penal system as well. And
those people aren't going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere, and they're locked in shoppers. What about like an emergency hospital too? Right.
Well, like next to the ER,
yeah,
where
you're
waiting around.
Well, you're, yeah, waiting, yeah, like an and you're, so, you know, you hold the bandage on your bleeding cut and walk, yeah, around and shop.
Kohl's hopes that customers will head to Planet Fitness for a workout and visit Kohl's next door to buy new jeans or a top.
So along those lines, did you see, I think it's Marshalls is now going to have an online store?
No.
So, like, whereas stores like that, you kind of go in, you get the discounted products. It's like what they have, and, yes, and that's that. They don't, yep, really keep track of their inventory. So I find it kind of odd. I'm not really sure how they're going to do it. I think TJ Maxx already does it. But
Kathy, do you know anybody who uses the Walmart thing where they order online and then they drive to the area and they walk out and give them the thing?
Oh, like, yeah, where they just deliver it to them? You mean?
No. They hawk their curbside pickup.
Yeah.
To me, it's
Target
like...
Target does it, too.
Yeah, so I've done why it wouldn't Target. You just have it sent to you?
Maybe you get it faster. And if you're not a red card holder, then sometimes you don't get free shipping.
I ordered my toilet bidet at 10 o'clock yesterday morning and had it by like 5.
But you're Prime. And we're not used to what... Because some of the things won't ship that quick. So maybe it's they need it today. I don't know.
Or you can also find it. You'll see that it's in stock right now. And you can go get it today.
All right.
But you can, and if it's something you really need, you order it. You don't have to worry about getting there, and the product is gone, and they can have it for you.
And I guess they save on shipping because they'll also offer deals. Like you'll get a $15, I just got one from Target, a $15 gift card because I purchased and picked it up in the store instead of having it shipped to my house.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
So,
all right.
I just thought that was an odd pairing, but Steve, the way you put it, that makes sense. That they're going to try that out. So Planet Fitness and Kohl's and Aldi. And Kohl's, I think the Aldi thing probably has something to do with, you know, like Target and Walmart.
Having supermarkets
build groceries.
It's actually a smart idea, again, yeah, because those are more people are inclined to purchase their actual groceries and going to the store as opposed to, I'm going to buy these bananas online.
Right. And Steve, how many times have you come to work? You knew you had to work out later on that day, and you forgot to bring your gear with you.
And went and picked up.
Yes.
Could you imagine?
Steve buys new workout clothes at least once a week.
I do. I go buy him a Lord & Taylor. It's right on the way to the
That's
gym.
That's pricey, too.
No, yeah. The discount stuff is, you know, you just
get discount
the
stuff?
Rack by the back. It's
yeah,
no
go
problem.
To the discount yeah, rack. Yeah, no you problem. Can find something.
Mm-hmm. Here's a quick follow-up story, and then we're going to take a break. But remember the guy from Oregon that got trapped in his car for 5 days and ate Taco Bell fire sauce?
Yes.
And he was able to sustain that on that. Taco Bell has taken notice, and they are giving him free food for a year.
Free food for a year. Yes. See, now that's a great way to access something in the news
yep.
and parlay it.
They said in a statement, we're very glad that Jeremy and his dog Allie are okay. We know our sauce packets are amazing, but this takes it to a whole new level. And we're in touch with Jeremy to have him have sent him a well-deserved care package, a year's supply of Taco Bell.
You know what they should do? They should carry it even a little bit further and have, just for the hell of it, out in some remote areas in that, just have a small
yes
Taco Bell kiosks with already for survival.
In the middle of nowhere?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
You know that you go in, if you go in 5 miles or whatever, there is a always heated
mm-hmm.
Taco Bell
shelter. That's not a bad idea.
Exactly.
Taco shelter.
Taco shelter.
Yeah.
Run for the shelter.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. So what would you classify as a year supply of Taco Bell?
You know what, Casey? I was wondering the same thing. Like if this guy's got friends and family, are they included in this year supply? Can he bring in his buddies?
I'd say a burrito a day. Every day.
I'd say like three meals a day.
Wow.
I mean,
good Lord.
Well, if you really want to step up and take care of this guy for a year,
no one uses the Nick curve system of food for it, because that
I'm not saying I would eat three burritos from Taco Bell a day. I'm saying if Taco Bell wants to step up and hook this guy up, hook up his family, you know, his friends.
You've seen people so like buffets for. You said it was never ending, mm-hmm. and I mean there is a limit. So usually you perceive it as like one of their main products, one of those per day.
Yeah, like the never-ending pasta pass, if you you know. People will buy that, and maybe they'll go to Olive Garden for, you know, like once a week or whatever. And then other people go there for lunch and dinner and sit there forever, you know.
So you asked the question, what do you think what's your answer to Taco Bell for a year?
For a year.
I think it's you have a gold card and you can go there however.
You can go three times a day?
You go three times a day.
All three times a day. All you want.
All you want.
Three times a day, every day for a year.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Man, Marissa?
So I found an old contest that Taco Bell did in 2014 giving away, this is a lifetime.
They gave away a lifetime?
Wow, a whole lifetime?
Well, so they were giving away a lifetime supply, and it was $10,000 gift card based on consuming $216 worth of Taco Bell each year.
$260, or how much is your average taco?
So,
$216 a year.
Taco's like a buck something now.
So that's actually, that would get you on your way.
Yeah, that'd be, you know, most of the year, if you count one taco per day.
I would say, that's not enough.
Who does one taco, though?
That'd be half a year.
I would say no less than three tacos a day.
Yeah. No, I think it's one meal a day.
So how about...
And maybe that's three tacos, but it's one meal.
Three meals a day, 10 tacos per seating. Right.
The family 20-pack.
Exactly.
They still sell that?
I don't know. We used to get it. That was like a treat for us.
Came in a little box.
Yes, God. Yes.
Yeah. When they had family packs like that, every time I leave like Zoe's kitchen, it looks like I have a steamer trunk for... Because, listen, but when they would do those huge packs and just know, like Kentucky Fried Chicken used to do it. Remember, Preston, they would have these, like, multi-bucket deals?
Yeah.
It was like a food orgy.
Yeah. Well, and it was made for large families.
Large consumption. Decadent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this guy's getting it for a year, whatever that translates to. They're taking him. By the way, can I have can I read a text?
Sure.
It says, I'm 60, I'm a rocker, and I love Ambrosia. Their albums are very good, and former lead singer David Pack has a fantastic voice. And he goes on for a while. He's just checking in from that conversation a while ago.
It happens sometimes. You have to think about it. Should I write? Should I not?
Yeah, what case?
Should I defend Ambrosia? Should I not?
When he said that and you read it, I thought he was talking about the food.
The band. No, yeah. It's the band, actually. Okay.
We should take a break. We'll come back in a second. More weird stuff on the way. The Bizarre File is up next, and we'll have it for you. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, The Warhawks. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, The Warhawks. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword Local Shots. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, do you want to hang out with Brent Celek at Worldwide Stereo? Check out some awesome audio and video equipment. Maybe watch a movie, eat some food. It's called The Mandate. And we are doing this. Brent stopped by yesterday. Was it yesterday or day before?
Day before.
Day before yesterday. And we set this whole thing up, and it's easy for you to do it. Both Steve Morrison and Casey Boy are going to be hosting this event. It is March 20th at Worldwide Stereo in Ardmore. If you're interested, go to WMMR.com, click on contest. You'll find it right there. And just tell us why you want to win, why you want to hang out
with Brent Celek.
So the structure is going to be really cool. You're going to come by and there's going to be sort of like a hang, a chat with Brent, you know, step and repeat, take pictures, do the whole deal, check out some of the tech at Worldwide Stereo, and then we're going to have Brent get something that'll really exploit this theater. So we're thinking anything that he likes in the Marvel range or in the, you know, in the, or maybe something like Fury, you know, the tank movie, something where yeah. you really get a feel and just tear it up and watch that. But it's going to be a really cool hang.
Deadline to enter is on Sunday the 17th. They're going to pick five winners from this. So do that. And then don't forget, listen, before all that, we're headed to Florida for spring training, Clearwater. Yes. And I want to thank once again our sponsor, Comcast, for getting on board. And helping us out with that, which is wonderful. So we'll be leaving 1 week from today after the show and bringing you a little taste of what to expect from the season, meeting with the guys, and should be a good time.
Man. I hope that we did last year. We saw so many people down there from the area, yeah. people who are down there just taking a trip, and then people who are transplants who are down there now permanently. It was great.
We'll be broadcasting right next to Frenchie's. The yeah. Tiki Bar will be right there. So if you've been in the ballpark, you know where that is. Come out. As soon as you come in, come and see us because we'll be at the ass end of our show.
They always put us in the ass.
And you can come by and say hello, and we'd love to see you. So that's coming up a week from tomorrow. Let's do the B5.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax Free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-service cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. It's Robbins Delaware Diamonds. If you are going to try something out from 50 Shades of Grey, you should probably do it in your house, not in your car. And you should be careful as well. A woman parked near a beach in the Canary Islands was spotted by a tourist with her hands tied to the steering wheel and packing tape around her neck.
Mm.
Police were summoned.
How romantic.
But she admitted that it was just a fantasy game that got out of hand. And she had nearly strangled herself in the process of imitating the movie. Officers had to use a knife to cut her restraints. And an ambulance ended up taking her to the hospital. So
I saw the first movie. I don't remember that scene.
No.
Taking place in a Prius.
That's what they're saying. You probably should have done it inside instead of in the car. Several passengers aboard the Norwegian escape cruise ship were injured Sunday when what cruise officials described as a sudden extreme gust of wind made the ship list.
What?
Quite severely, yeah.
Wow.
In a series of tweets, and I saw some of the video from this, Steve. In a series of tweets, Norwegian cruise officials said that the 20-deck ship suddenly tilted just before midnight Sunday under the force of an unexpected gale topping 100 knots or about 115 miles an hour.
Tornado!
And it was enough to push the ship over to the side. Fire rescue ambulances responded to the terminal after the ship arrived. The offshore incident happened as a strong weather front moved across the eastern seaboard of the U.S., generating a string of tornadoes across Georgia and Alabama. And the ship had departed from New York hours earlier on Sunday.
So years ago, I was on a cruise ship heading towards Bermuda. And about three quarters of the way through the trip, two hurricanes crossed.
Oh.
And the ship was listing over because we had hung our coats. They had little pegs to hang your coats. You know, it was still a little chilly as we're heading down to Bermuda. And I remember sitting in my bunk watching the coat almost touch the ceiling as we were tilting over.
Wow.
Scary as F.
But yeah, people were panicking on this, and a few people were injured in the whole thing, so they had to be taken to the hospital. Apparently, some people are offended by a raised ring finger, a billboard from the We the People, is what it's called, which advertises divorce services starting at $499, features a huge image of a hand wearing a wedding band with the index finger extended upward. With the ring finger. Extended upwards with the words, "I'm done." It was obviously a reference to an extended middle finger, and at least one local resident has complained about the billboard, saying that it's disrespectful and makes light of a serious matter.
When we were in elementary school and wanted to give the finger without getting in trouble, we would do the ring finger.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah.
You're sneaky, but not that sneaky.
There was an ad here locally that was like that several years ago.
Sure, yeah. And honestly, look at all, they've got national press on this billboard. So despite the complainers, they've really gotten their money's worth.
Yeah, manager at the We the People office in Albany says otherwise the billboard has received mostly positive feedback from members of the community. This seems like something your mother would warn against you doing, but a boy in China actually got stuck on a toilet seat for about 2 hours after sitting there playing video games on his phone for too long.
Now, what I don't know is if he got stuck there because his legs lost circulation.
Like pins and needles?
Yeah, or if his butt actually got in stuck there. Firefighters had to, it says they had to remove the toilet seat before carefully cutting apart the plastic, to rescue the child. So I guess his butt got down in there.
Stand back, fellas. I got this.
He got a few bruises, but otherwise was okay. Now, when I first read this, I thought it was an animal, but then afterwards I realized it was not. A bobcat clearing snow from a footbridge.
That is one industrious animal.
Plunged through the floor of the crossing and crashed on top of a van driving below on Route 208 on Monday, leaving three people hurt. So it was, you know, one of those little front-end excavating things. The work van was headed north on the highway when the bobcat plow somehow dropped through the overpass. The front cab of the work van was badly damaged, with one side nearly entirely crushed, while the bobcat was on its side. It's unclear how the approximately 2-ton vehicle fell through the pedestrian bridge. And the bridge was apparently inspected in 2013 and slated for another check this year.
Yeah, they usually hire bears to clear the snow. But
yeah, you know, yeah, they're much larger. One last story. For the second time in 12 years, the glory hole at Lake Berryessa is spilling over. It's good news for the Bay Area's lakes and reservoirs, but bad news for one wayward duck. So,
oh, I saw this footage.
The glory hole is basically a drain, okay? But it's a large pipe that goes to the top of the water, and if the water level raises enough, then it spills into that hole. It operates similar to a bathtub drain, but instead the drain is at the top instead of the bottom. And Tuesday morning, a video showing a lone duck slipping into the glory hole was posted to a community Facebook page, and the people demanded to know what happened to the glory hole duck. Well, after weeks of heavy rain, all that water raise, that's what happened. The caption on the video reads, "Duck took a wild ride, but didn't make it. But did make it out of the other side." But a spokesperson for the Bureau of Reclamation, which owns the spillway, said there's no way someone would be able to tell if the duck survived from the vantage point. But things aren't looking good. They said the distance of the fall is about 18 stories.
18 stories for the
duck. Plus, the intense water pressure probably killed the duck. However, I saw a follow-up story. And somebody saw the duck shoot out of the
Are you kidding?
Outtake.
Where, I thought wherever, there was no way.
Wherever they saw the
glory hole.
They saw the duck come out of there. The caption. Well, anyhow, I already said the caption.
The hell was that?
According to a 1997 Chronicle article written after a woman was sucked into the glory hole, the spillway dropped straight down more than 200 feet. And roots water down an 8-foot-wide pipe. That woman was killed in the accident.
Should have been a duck.
But they believe that the duck made it out of there. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Get ready, because we'll have a lesson question. That is something that's happened on the show at some point this morning that we'll ask about. Just to see if you were listening. Give her a prize in association with that. We'll also get to the trash and music news in just a moment. Stay with us.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
I don't see the lesson questions.
What is happening
Nick
here?
All right. McElwain.
You want to peel back the curtain on this?
Yeah.
I think Mercury is in retrograde, because what I do every day is I write the lesson questions down, and I store them in an email. And then I send that email to Nick Murphy, because he uses them as possible daily rushes. And then I send them, we save that, give that to Steve. He can put together a promo. And then I email the actual question, the one that you use on the air, Preston, and give that to Marissa so she can write that down. I've hit send on the email. It was all intact, and it went into the ether. And has completely disappeared.
That's weird. Bye-bye?
It went bye-bye.
Hey, this morning we had the weirdest start to the show ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The microphones wouldn't turn on.
Yeah.
You need microphones in broadcasting.
I have a question.
And the whole board shut off, and we had to go to the other room and do part of our show from there.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It just reappeared. Would you like me to ask the question?
Then that'll probably work out best.
All right.
And by the way, we are going to give away The Office Season 3 on DVD. What's our question this morning, Nick?
Okay. What did Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson put on the grill the last time Regis and Joy came over for dinner?
All right. I like that one. 215-263-WMMR. What did Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson put on the barbecue for Regis and Joy?
215-263-WMMR. Call right now. And while you're calling in, we will do the Hollywood trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
This morning is brought to you by Monster Mania Con 42. Yeah. And that's happening tomorrow through the 10th. You want to come see Dolph Lundgren, Christina Ricci, Scream's Neve Campbell, Meatloaf, and more.
I hate Meatloaf.
Tickets are available at the door. And for more info, for more on the Gore in store, visit monstermania.net. Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, believe it or not, sub-level pseudo-porn star Farrah Abraham landing a job working for Penthouse Magazine as a book critic. Abraham says Penthouse has already sent her first book to review, as well as the crayons that go with it.
Yeah, oh, right. My God.
Kate Beckinsale telling Hollywood Life she has no problem with the 20-year age difference between her and boyfriend SNL cast member Pete Davidson. Beckinsale says she finally realized the true meaning of happiness when she got beyond age and started focusing on penis size. And finally, John Mayer, reportedly tremendously upset over the impending marriage of former girlfriend Katy Perry to Orlando Bloom. Mayer says thinking of what he had with Perry has left him double depressed.
All righty. Does someone know the answer? We'll find out shortly. The question that I have for you this morning is, what did Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson put on the grill the last time that Regis and Joy came over for dinner? 215-263-WMMR is the number. Let's go to the caller, Jay. Line 5. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Suck it, Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God. Suck it, wow. Pennsylvania. At first, I thought he said something else. Jay, what is the answer we're looking for? Do you know?
Kielbasa?
No.
Oh.
Not kielbasa. Incorrect. Let me go to Bill. Hi, Bill. Good morning. Hey, Bill, are you there?
Bill?
Oh, he's got an answer up there that actually looks like it might be correct.
Billy.
Is your name Bill? This might be one of those things where they have a completely different name. Aloysius, can you hear me? Okay.
Wow.
Then that's a no-go on that.
That Mercury in retrograde thing is holding up.
I think it started.
It started on the 5th, and it's in retrograde.
Seriously?
Through March 28th, all month pretty much.
All right, here goes Bob. Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Hey, Bob. So what did Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson serve?
Well, because it's in my name, it was shish kebab.
Shish kebab. Yay. Correct, Bob. Hang on a second. We're going to get your information. Take care of you. Office Season 3 on DVD. Dunder Mifflin has relocated to Cozy TV. You can catch Michael, Dwight, Jim, Pam, and the rest of The Office in a two-hour block every weeknight at 10 on Cozy TV. Broadcast Channel 10.2, Xfinity Channel 248, and Verizon Channel 460 in Philadelphia. Time to fire up the music.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah! Hi. This morning is brought to you by Dunkin'. You're in luck. Dunkin' has $2 menu. I'm sorry, not menu, medium. $2 medium iced coffee all day long, plus celebrate St. Patrick's Day throughout March with Dunkin's delicious Irish cream coffee. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Following reports earlier this week that confirmed some of the initial performers at Woodstock 50, Hits Daily Double now claim that several other acts are also showing up for the festival, and one of those is the Black Keys.
Hey. Wow.
We played brand new music from them this morning, a song called Low High. Really good tune. They've been on hiatus since 2015 when they completed the touring cycle for their 2014 album Turn Blue. And they have not publicly indicated any plans yet for a return and have not played live for nearly 4 years, except for a brief reunion in February of last year at a solo show by frontman Dan Auerbach. Auerbach has recorded several albums, either on his own label with his band The Arcs, in addition to producing other acts and overseeing his own label, Easy Eye Sound. Patrick Carney, meanwhile, has also produced several records, including his now fiancée Michelle Branch's Hopeless Romantic. The couple also had a baby last year, and Carney recently launched a new project called Sad Planets. But other acts reportedly performing at the Woodstock 50th Anniversary Concert, August 16th through the 18th, include Imagine Dragons, Chance the Rapper, The Killers, Santana, Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus, and Halsey. So
Santana, the only one at the original.
On that list, yeah. So I don't know how much they're going to expand that and if they will bring back other acts, you know.
Think Kendrick's will come back or no?
I don't know. You never know. But, I mean, The Who could.
Yes.
You know, they're touring. Absolutely. So you never know.
Sha-na-na, did Bowser die?
I think Bowser died.
Damn it.
I may be wrong on that. I don't know. I might have to fact check on that. Dave Grohl. I love this. I love that this is happening. Dave has lent his famous rock throne to guitarist Matthew Ramsey of the country music act Old Dominion for Ramsey to use on tour. Ramsey had fallen off the stage during one of the band's gigs and is on crutches, but can still perform live thanks to having the throne on the road with him.
This is the piece of equipment du jour for people who get injured.
Yep.
It was lent. So he had it made first. Who did he lend it to initially?
Axl Rose.
Axl Rose.
And I'm not sure if Axl injured himself on stage during a concert or not.
I think he was rushing to the food table, the catering,
to the buffet.
Was taco night, man.
But if that's the case, I think that should be the requirement if you're going to be lent this, is that you actually get injured on stage, because this other guy did.
Yeah.
So Ramsey said, so many jokes were thrown around about using Dave Grohl's throne. Finally, we just decided to ask him and see what would happen. I'm sure Dave didn't know that when he created this thing, that everyone would want to use it. But it has been an honor to sit on, and more importantly, it's allowing us to keep the show on the road, and our fans are truly grateful, and we owe him big for that.
It's called the Dave of Thrones, right?
I don't know.
Of Thrones, that's hilarious.
Well, listen, this needs to keep being passed around, and it's eventually got to end up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You know, I still stand by my original request that somebody fashion a throne for you.
I think
it would be hilarious if people came in and you were sitting in a throne.
That would be great.
Wouldn't it be wild?
Yeah. It would have to be on wheels.
It has to have rollers.
Sure, yeah.
Most definitely. But I'm game. I'm definitely
game. Game of Thrones.
When Jonas Brothers dropped their hit comeback single called Sucker earlier this week, Portugal the Man gave it a listen, and they think that the song sounds an awful lot like their 2017 smash Feel It Still.
Mm-hmm.
The band tweeted out, though, to be fair, though, the chorus of Feel It Still sounds very similar to Please Mr. Postman by the Marvelettes, which we respectfully cleared and thanked them for every chance that we got, as does the Jonas Brothers song as well. So they threw that out there, too.
So does that preclude them not seeking
I don't think they are going to seek anything. I think they're just kind of pointing it out.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Shut up.
How about this? Nikki Sixx has apologized for a story in the band's 2001 memoir, The Dirt, in which he describes a scene where he may have participated in a sexual assault during a party. In the story recounted by Sixx to writer Neil Strauss, he said that he pretty much raped an intoxicated woman after he had sex with her in a closet and then sent Tommy Lee in to do the same.
Oh,
on Tuesday, he told Rolling Stone he didn't even actually recall the incident in question, claiming that the details in the book were possibly greatly embellished or made up. He said in a statement, the book was written in 2000 during a really low point in my life. I lost my sobriety and I was using drugs and alcohol to deal with a disintegrating relationship, which I still to this day regret how I handled. I honestly don't recall a lot of the interviews with Neil. He added, I don't actually recall that story in the book beyond reading it. I have no clue why it's in there other than I was out of my head and it's probably greatly embellished or I made it up. Those words were irresponsible on my part. I'm sorry. There is a lot of horrible behavior in the book. We all lived to regret a lot and learned from it. In the book, he said that he completely forgot about the encounter. So this is actually in the book part. He had forgotten about the encounter until the woman had called him the following morning and told him that she had been raped by a man as she hitchhiked home from the party. Sixx said in the book, at first I was relieved because it meant I didn't rape her. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that I pretty much had. I was in a zone, though, and in that zone, consequences did not exist. Besides, I was capable of sinking even lower than that. So it's a weird...
It is very weird. Yeah. She doesn't... So she never said that he had done anything to her.
Correct.
He thinks he, in a booze-fueled stupor might have.
That he may have taken advantage of her, or, yeah.
Well,
so,
there's, I mean, honestly, I appreciate his interest in correcting things, but there appears to be no indication there was a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. The show on Netflix is coming out March 22nd, by the way.
You guys want some good news?
Yeah. Yes.
Bowser from Shauna Na is still alive.
Yay!
I thought he was dead.
So did I.
71, active in politics, and I don't know if he'll be at Woodstock 50, but John Bowser Bowman is still alive.
Thank God, because he had been swimming in a reservoir, and he got shot down a glory hole.
Oh, my God.
And he said it was a duck that pointed him the way out.
What type of politics? Is he a...
National politics for the Democratic Party. So he campaigned for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in 2008.
But he doesn't hold office himself.
He does not. No.
Okay.
He's done. He's legit done cold calls for the Democratic...
Barack Obama. Barack Obama.
This is Bowser. Remember, he kind of talked like that.
Yes.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. One last story. Limp Bizkit played a special $3 show at the Troubadour nightclub in Los Angeles on Tuesday night after announcing what was billed as an original lineup gig last week. Not only did the show feature the band's original configuration, but some of the high-profile guests in attendance included Marilyn Manson, Billy Corgan, and Machine Gun Kelly.
Is this Limp Bizkit?
Some of them got up and performed with them, too, yeah.
$3? So they upped the price a buck.
Well, no, that comes from a... The reason that is... It was for $3. I think there was... 1997, they had an album called $3 Bill, y'all.
There you go.
So that's where that price came from.
It was to celebrate the news that Bowser is alive.
But they broke out all kinds of tracks from themselves, along with a cover of Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box, on which Marilyn Manson got up and joined them. Machine Gun Kelly also helped lead a rendition of The Who's My Generation, while the band also performed a medley of songs by Journey, Green Day, Pantera, and Metallica. That's really eclectic.
It sure is.
Okay, Machine Gun Kelly, hip-hop artist or what? I don't know.
Rapper,
but he does do a little bit of rock. What he basically is a lifestyle entrepreneur.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that. All right. Anyhow, and that's what I got for our music news this morning. Let's take one last break. Come back in a second. Get ready to wrap this thing up. You're going to need that letter that Pierre will have for you when we return. So make sure that you stay with us. We'll be right back.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
That's a great band, man. The Revivalist.
You know
Change, 93.3 WMMR. What's up?
You know what I hear in that song, and I think you're going to agree? Ambrosia. Right?
I'm hearing that in almost everything.
Everything
today.
Now.
Yeah. Or, well... I was going to play something else, but yeah, pull up Ambrosia, Case, because there's... That's how much I feel. The only other readily available music I had was Shauna Na.
Yes,
it was ready to go. It was Get a Job, anyway. Yeah, I don't know if it was Shauna Na or not, but yes, Ambrosia was a big part of today's discussions on the Preston and Steve Show. If you've missed that part of it, make sure you tune in to our... check out our podcast, or of course the fun size. You never know, that might end up as a fun size segment.
It's certainly my favorite segment of the day.
Yeah, so you can find just a little chunk of the show. If you don't want to listen to the entire program, you don't have time to, or maybe you just missed part of the program, you can check out our fun size podcast through WMMR.com. And it's very easy to consume.
Maybe you're just a wealthy businessman who doesn't have time for the full multi-hour podcast.
But other than that, yeah, we got the full show, or at least the majority of the show put up for a podcast every single day.
We put all that crap up for free, too.
Yeah.
And it's all keto, too.
And the Bizarre Files, too. All keto. Yeah. No carbs, nothing.
Not one.
All keto.
Not one carb.
Yep. And you can listen to us via your
electronic
Amazon
equipment.
Amazon Echo.
Yeah.
That's why I was going to be more specific than electronic equipment. Just say open WMMR and you'll be good to go. Open the Bizarre Files. What's that?
Healthy listening.
Healthy listening all the way around.
Better listening through ears.
I like it. Thank you to Brittany Taylor for being on our show.
Yeah.
Brittany.
So cool to see her doing so well.
Barry Cavallari is the name of the show. Season 2, new episode is Sunday night, 10 p.m. on E! You never know. Kathy might end up on the show. She's going to Nashville.
It's quite possible you could end up on an episode, Kathy.
I don't know.
Suck up to him big time. We want to get some celeb power from Nashville.
I'm going to stop by. The stuff looks cute.
And thank you.
Super cute, guys.
They asked me my opinion. Yeah, please.
And also thanks to Dr. Mike for popping on. Obviously, we had to talk about Alex Trebek and his diagnosis, his announcement of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And Mike was just bringing us up to speed on some of the questions and answers about pancreatic cancer. So appreciate it whenever Dr. Mike can get on. Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man.
Why, hi there.
How you doing?
Oh, fine.
Nice.
We came by last night and we unveiled a new frame, unveiling a Brent Porsche's frame.
I saw it.
So cool.
It's really good.
It's probably the best one out of all of them that are here. But what Pierre's referring to are the hallways here at MMR. We have frames that have photographs of each full-time and part-time members of the staff and just some little segments of their years in radio and their life. And Brent's has got some great stuff in it.
Great stuff.
Chris, him and Chris Cornell, him and Slash and a bunch of other
Ambrosia.
Great ones. So, yeah, and Ambrosia.
Ambrosia, the Ambrosia is the centerpiece. Well, Brent's one of the backup singers.
Oh,
oh wow.
No.
Yeah. He was known as Brent Brosia.
Yeah.
Brent Brosia.
Brent Brosia.
I heard you were wearing footy pajamas, Pierre.
No, I was. Well, Brent, for Christmas, gave me Star Trek pajamas in the Captain Kirk gold Star Trek as opposed to the Mr. Spock powder blue Star
yes.
Trek. And they have feet about size 15. I got in the car and drove here in them. Had I been pulled over, please step out of the car, sir. It would have been an embarrassing moment. But I plopped in with my giant feet.
We have the weirdest infant you've ever seen.
And our great framer, Gail Fogel from Original Images, of their website, originalimages.net, by the way, came in, and she had just completed the frame. And so we snuck in. Bam Bam was in on it. Brent didn't know that we were coming. And in my Star Trek costume that he gave me, we came in and unveiled his new frame. Each full-time person has a frame. And they get it instantly as soon as they get here. And he'd been here 2 years, so it was about time he got his. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm one. Are there anybody due for upgrades?
Well, yes, you guys are.
Big time.
Yeah. And apologies on that. The company's having a hard time making ends meet. They don't have a lot of dough right now, particularly from this station. So it's been hard to get the budget together to get a few more pictures inserted in. But when we do a little bit better, so that'd be, you know, if you guys could just do a little bit better.
We'll try.
We'll have a little more dough, and we'll get your frame done in no time.
Good motivation to perform. Right. Did you hear our discussion earlier this morning about MMR, the movie?
I missed it.
Was it. Early. It was early, so chances are you're
I was here until 1:30 in the morning.
You ended up with some very good casting options.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to.
Everything right, from so Peter Dinklage to.
Let you see the list.
Yeah. But to like Brad Pitt. Oh, we're not kidding.
Chris Hemsworth or Brad Pitt for me.
Okay.
Which one?
Brad Pitt is what. You got right. Brad
Somebody,
Pitt.
Yeah, who had said Brad Pitt? Marissa did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marissa.
I said Dennis Quaid.
Oh, Dennis Quaid would be good.
Or another good one was Jeff Bridges.
And a really good suggestion, I thought, online was Aaron Eckhart. I hadn't considered him.
I don't know who he is.
If you saw him, he's been in lots of stuff. Okay. But I think he could pull.
He facially does look a bit like you.
A little bit,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Nick will
Peter Dinklage
picture.
Was a long shot, and Idris Elba ended up as a potential.
Maybe Hugh Jackman.
Here, take a look. This is, on Nick's monitor, that's Aaron Eckhart.
Oh. That's a handsome fella.
Hey, slap a beard on that, right?
That's a handsome fella.
There were also people who suggested Jared Leto for you. And I heard another good one, which was Russell Brand.
Russell
I like that.
Brand.
I like that.
Yeah.
So
like
a lot of it was a really fun conversation.
Russell Simmons.
I am.
So there. Other Russells.
Maybe. When I wear my little workout wear thing.
Sure.
Russell the love muscle.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to hear that segment.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm going to podcast your lyrics.
All
there
right.
You go.
Yeah.
You got to do that.
Straight up. Sports up.
That's right, man. Dude. Straight stunting. We should do the letter of the day. You ready?
Yo-ho.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
T as in Turley.
All right, that's a T, and we got one more to go, which we're going to get to you tomorrow, and the prize is from Hyundai City in Burlington, New Jersey. It's a two-day, two-night golf package at Killington Resort in Vermont. The March Mayhem deals at Hyundai City are scoring big, so shop them all at HyundaiCity.com. Give that away tomorrow. That's cool. What's in store for today, sir?
Well, we're going to celebrate some of the shows coming our way and going on sale tomorrow, like Alice Cooper and Hailstorm. So each will get a block. And a big show with Slipknot. I think they're calling it the Knot Fest. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get one of the great bands on there is Volbeat. We're going to get them on in a workforce block. And another pair of tickets for the Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher. Also going on sale tomorrow for one of their summer visits. So lots of stuff.
Excellent. Thanks to the sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. We've been brought to you today by the American Red Cross and the Red Cross Ball. It's going to be March 30th at Lincoln Financial Field. Tickets information at redcross.org/redballphilly. Also brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? That's FrenchCreekOutfitters.com, by the way. And also Fred Bean. Shopping pre-owned is better at Fred Bean's. Go to FredBeansUsed.com to find a better pre-owned vehicle. Tomorrow, wrapping up the week, we have some friends stopping by. Comedian Joe Machi will be in studio. We will have, this is pretty cool, Maury's Pier in Wildwood. We have the Jack Maury stopping by tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool.
That legendary amusement park.
How old is that dude?
We'll have the man.
Old. I think really he's 60s.
Yeah, he's not the Maury that started it, but the Maury that continued it.
Okay, so he'll be in tomorrow. And our good friend Robert Irvine is in town.
Oh,
so
awesome.
The chef will be stopping in tomorrow morning. That's it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
I literally just saw the greatest Marvel movie ever been made. And it sucks for all of you because you got to wait till Friday to see it.
Next message.
Oh, my gosh. When you all cast Adrian Brody as Jackie Van Damme at the same time, I f***ing lost it. You guys are so stinking funny. I love your show. Keep it up.
Next message.
Hey, guys, I have one little complaint. Why don't you ever do the free movie viewing here in Jersey? Yes, Jersey. You have both of fans over here. Take care of us. Thank you.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.